This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio
Ignition,
covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts, fire up the ignition, and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Memorial Day weekend, this weekend. Get ready to grill, get ready to watch racing from early in the morning on Sunday till late in the evening on Sunday night. Hello, everyone. Welcome to WFO Radio Ignition. I am Joe Costello, and you have stumbled upon this program probably, possibly on a link, maybe out there on iHeartRadio, the Race Day Nation channel, maybe on Twitter, maybe on Facebook, maybe just searching the web if you've done it, iTunes. Welcome to you. It is the greatest weekend in racing this weekend, and we are going to have a great time. But also, it is a solemn holiday in the United States of America where we pay tribute to those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, for our country, those soldiers lost in war. And what do we do when that happens? Well, we try to exercise our freedom and have as much fun as possible because I think that's why they made the sacrifice, so that we could do that. And we go out and we grill and we barbecue and we have a fun time and hopefully take a moment or two to think about that throughout the course of the weekend. I know I certainly will, and the WFO audience will as well, judging by the feedback I've gotten. I'm fresh in from Hotlanta, the ATL, the Dirty South, the Dirty Dirty out there in Atlanta for the Summit Racing Equipment NHRA Southern Nationals. I was out there at Atlanta Dragway. What a weekend it was, with a NASCAR All-Star race on Saturday night, and pole qualifying for the Indy 500, Scott Dixon on the pole. Scott Dixon, wow. A lot of crashes, a lot of cars getting airborne, all kinds of stuff to get into. Also, the Camaro 6 was unveiled, and we have someone going to talk about it. David Hakim is going to join us on the show, an automotive journalist who I know, he's a friend. He's driven the sixth generation Camaro already, has written a review on Edmunds.com, and we have got David on this show going to tell us about it. So if you're a fan of the Camaro and you want to know all about it, what is it? Is it good? Is it, what does it look like in real life? How does it drive? All of these things. We're going to get into it on the show. We're going to make our picks for the big race weekend. We're going to talk fantasy results. We got it all. So if you're a racing fan, it's your first time, you're just checking in for the very first time, we want you to stick around. And if you're a longtime listener, well, you know all this already. So let's just move on and bring in Giovanni from Miami in the program.
Well, all right.
There he is.
Woo!
How was your last weekend this past weekend?
Awesome-o.
Are you ready for the big race weekend?
Absolutely. Ready, you know, to go. I'm ready. I'm geeked up.
You know what I've been doing lately is I've been really hoping, because we don't know when people listen to the show. Some people are crowded around their old wooden radio 8:30 Wednesday night for the first airing of the show to click and listen immediately.
By the fire?
Right. And then some people are listening to the show on Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. But I also like to think that there are people listening on Friday to get them to 5 p.m. And hopefully everything we say when we first do the show and post the show is still relatively pertinent on Friday. Because we've been sending push notifications out Friday, happy hour's coming, get ready, 5 o'clock whistle, Flintstone style, you know, blows the whistle, slides down the brontosaurus tail, and is out of there 5 o'clock. At 5:00:01. I kind of think that's how it is. Now, maybe it's not that way. And maybe a lot of our listeners are actually working on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, the man says, you got to work on Memorial Day. That's it. Get out there. Work or you're going to lose your job. And they're like, okay, boss, I'm sorry. And the only thing they've got, they're like, reek. They have to do it. And they go out there and they listen to WFO to get them through the experience. We do the show so that hopefully it is still fresh and new and exciting, and maybe there's even some comedy in there, maybe something that will make you laugh, that will make you enjoy it. But maybe not. That's why I'm bringing it up. Maybe it's not. Like one of these days, you know, Gio puts up the Vegas picks on Friday. We really have content for every day. Monday is the winner's press conference from NASCAR. Tuesday is NHRA Nitro. This week was spectacular. The Tim Wilkerson interview is that got everyone buzzing. Today is Ignition, which has got to get you through today and tomorrow. And then Friday, you get the Vegas picks, independent of Ignition. So I think that there is a whole host of great things going on. Now, in terms of NASCAR, this past week, the All-Star Race. Did you like it? How was it? What'd you think? I can tell you what I thought. First of all, I was watching in a bar just outside Atlanta Dragway. Atlanta Dragway is...
In the Omni!
In the Omni! In Atlanta, GA, the Nature Boy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Dusty Rhodes, son of a plumber, the American Dream. But the bar was walking distance from the hotel, and so we went down to the bar, and the bar was called Cafe Giovanni. How weird is that?
The cosmos were sending you in the right direction.
The thing about commerce is that there's no place on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series tour where the hotel is closer to the track. No place. Maybe Pomona if you stay at the one uber expensive hotel that is on the property that the track is on, but that doesn't count because I'm not staying there. But nowhere else is there a hotel closer than in Commerce, Georgia. It is literally a 35 second ride, maybe a minute, and you are there. But you may recall a couple of years ago, had some troubles out there. You know, places closed and no place to eat or drink because they were closed up early, weekend type stuff. Well, this year it was not a problem. There was a place right by the hotel, Cafe Giovanni in Commerce. I wrote a review about it. A lot of nice girls working as waitresses there, and the proprietor was very friendly. And they had T-shirts that said Cafe Giovanni. And so, you know, how do you not... How do you not get one of those, right? Because what's funny, you know, what's interesting about it is that your name is Giovanni.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I didn't even realize that. I didn't draw the lines.
Well, that's why I brought it up. That is what's special about the whole place is that your name is Giovanni, and there's a Cafe Giovanni, and the cosmos was
the
line.
Did you go in there and ask for free stuff?
Well, I bought a shirt.
You didn't get anything comped? You didn't say...
No, I did get a shot comped by one of the girls there. She said, can we get you a shot? And we said, yes. And it was something very frilly and kind of foo-foo.
Fruity, huh?
Fruity. It was a girl. She made a girl shot. And I wasn't going to say no. I was going to reject it. But it was very interesting. It was a good time. The Atlanta crowd was great. It was a good time. But that's where we watched the All-Star Race. And... It was kind of a wild scene. It was very fun, and everybody in the community was enjoying it. And I was kind of, you know, watching the race and monitoring the race and had some very cool moments to discuss with you. But I will first give you my just insight on the race, which is I don't think I like the format. I think it's too long. I think it starts too late. I think there's a lot of problems with the All-Star Race. I think they've got too many segments. I do like the fact that the showdown is on Friday night. I like that. Because it breaks up this deal and it takes away a huge advantage from the showdown winner.
Of having just raced on the track, yeah, absolutely.
But
I will totally agree, like, this thing ran on and on. I think it ended, like, close to midnight.
On and on to the break of dawn.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You think it was a party.
It was a party.
Not on the TV.
The pre-race ceremony was spectacular, and I've got a little bit of insight. I should have invited him on the show, but I didn't. Brian Loans from Bangshift, who is one of the announcers out there with NHRA, where he and Alan Reinhart were sitting at the bar watching this. And what's interesting is that he is not really NASCAR-versed. He's not a NASCAR guy. He's a drag guy, drag racing guy. And there's a lot of people like that. I don't think people realize it, but there's a lot. And he's watching the pre-race show, and his mind is blowing at how much effort is going into that pre-race show. The screens and the light boards and the fireworks and the long stage. And it was really cool. It was a great time. And we're watching on the television. And I said to myself, we're also, when we get in this situation, we're always talking about what to do to improve the audience in the world of drag racing. And I'm constantly pushing Meerkat and Periscope. Meerkat and Periscope, which now it's not even a battle anymore because Meerkat is dying. It's over. Everybody is Periscoping. Nobody is Meerkatting.
No way.
At least not in the racing community.
Okay.
And that makes sense because the racing community is really about the most mainstream of things. Whereas, like, these entrepreneur
types... But
they're both
brand new. How can one be more mainstream than the other?
Because Twitter owns it.
Oh, all right. I can see.
And so I say, hey, let's check to see if anyone is Periscoping from the race. And sure enough, one of Ryan Newman's crew guys is Periscoping backstage. And so myself and 120 other people got to see his view, and he's looking, moving the camera around, and there's Jeff Gordon, and there's Jimmy Johnson, and it's time for them to go out on the stage. And they're going out, and they go up the stairs, and the doors open, and you see the crowd, and you walk out. He walked out holding his phone, but we were with him. And it was a mind-blowing experience. Mind-blowing. Because you walked out, and you walked down, and here they come out on TV now. The Periscope was actually a little ahead of the actual television by about 20 seconds or so.
Wow, that's interesting because we know also that the Periscope and Meerkat are slightly delayed.
They're a little delayed too, so everything is delayed. But he was a little ahead. But it was a great experience. It really was eye-opening and fun, and that was the best part of the night.
Wow, so the pre-race watching through some of the driver's team's Periscope was what you found the most interesting and the most compelling.
And qualifying. The green flag, no speed limit, pit road entrance.
That whole part was super cool. But the race just went on and on and on.
And I didn't feel like it was very well contended.
No, not at all. Whoever got up front, just, you know, the aero situation at that track, I guess, will always be
the aero situation.
They're
just going so fast, and they're so on the ragged edge. That when you're out in front,
but the whole thing with
the
new pit stop and all that, I guess that's not brand new.
No,
a
couple
years.
That
is definitely makes it much more interesting. I really, honestly, when that last 25-lap segment started, I thought that was the last 10-lap segment. And when I realized it was 25 and then another 10 and another 45 minutes to go, I was ready to...
Pass out.
Yeah, it was all over for me at that point.
It was. It was a little too late. It's at the end of the
long day.
I mean, I
stayed up and watched it, but I was out. I was just like, nah, not as interested.
Dale Jr. and Kevin Harvick and everybody said the same thing. Just too late, too long. I think you don't... What is it? It's five segments? Four segments?
Four 25-lap segments and then a 10-lap sprint-off, I think, is what they did.
What is the point of anything before the 10-lap sprint-off? Is really what happens. Denny Hamlin won it on a great last lap pit stop, came from sixth to first, and then won.
Harvick says something about jumping the restart, but...
I saw the video.
I guess, you know, the leader controls the restart, man. We've always talked about this already.
And I think it was exacerbated because Kurt Busch had a particularly
bad restart. That always happens, too.
And so it's the first All-Star Race win for Denny Hamlin, first one for Toyota, first one for Joe Gibbs and all of that. And Denny Hamlin's a star, so he can win the All-Star Race. But I just... They need to figure out something else. Now, what is the answer? And the answer is, I don't know what the answer is. What is the answer? I don't know. But I just a general framework of the answer would be...
The beginning part was great. The whole, like you said, the driver intros, that part's great. Because NASCAR has always been very good with the pump circumstance. I think it's the actual race product that really needs to be tweaked. It's just the 110-lap event is almost like a Nationwide or whatever you want to call Xfinity series.
But they just
race.
Go and then they stop and then they go and then they stop and
right,
then they go
no
and then they stop
that.
And then, they go and then they stop and then they go and someone wins.
Like I said, that could have been 2 25s and a 10. There was no need for it to go for four segments and then the 10-lap sprint off.
I really didn't feel Jimmy Johnson, big save. Of course, they got reprimanded a little bit for the side skirts, but no big deal. I'm wondering if the 10-lap sprint doesn't work anymore because everyone is on full grip, high grip, and someone is just inevitably better or whoever's got the lead. Maybe you want to do a full fuel run and back up five laps and make that the final segment so someone's tires at least get old so there's a chance for someone to come up through the field, for someone who's Got it set on kill to burn the tires off the car? I don't know. I don't know the solution. But the All-Star race, other than the pomp and circumstance and qualifying, I really felt like it did not deliver.
No, I would have to agree. It started off great, but then it kind of just phased off at the end.
Denny Hamlin wins the race. Kevin Harvick second. Kurt Busch third. Followed by Jeff Gordon. Matt Kenseth fifth. Kyle Busch sixth. Casey Kane seventh. The return of Kyle Busch. Sped on pit road. Actually had a chance. Kyle Busch seventh. Joy eighth. Brad Keselowski, a new dad. Brad K is a new father. Had a daughter.
Kyle.
I thought that's happened seconds ago, right? Kyle?
I believe it was yesterday or... If I'm not mistaken, Kyle was Monday or Tuesday.
No, I saw pictures. And Brad K was either today or earlier.
Brad
today.
K was the one that was today, and I believe Kyle was Monday.
Was Kyle a boy or a girl?
Boy.
And Brad K was a girl?
Yes.
Oh, boy. They're going to be dating. That's it. They're going to be dating. Kyle is going to be like, ha-ha, my son is dating your daughter, and Brad is going to have to chase him out of there with, like, a shotgun.
Yeah, I think that's how it's going to work.
Probably, right? You know, they were nemesis on the check, and, hey, my name is Brad Keselowski, and Kyle Busch is a
Well,
is a
no,
jackass.
They'll definitely be seeing each other hanging out near the track, and just limited by their options.
Right. Right, and it'll be like Romeo and Juliet. It'll be like the Montagues and the Capulets, the Keselowskis and the Bushes. They're going to be seeing each other. It's going to be a forbidden love. It's going to be taboo. We're talking about infant children here, folks. This is going to be going on in 15 years from now. So when you're listening to WFO Radio on the Mind Cloud, right now we're on SoundCloud and Race Day Nation and a podcast. Back then it'll be the Mind Cloud.
You tried to slip that one past me like the... drones or something, huh?
Yeah. Mind cloud. It's something like you plug into your brain and it just goes in there. And you all of a sudden you're thinking the WFO show. We're still going to be doing a show 15 years from now, folks. Unless we hit the lottery. No, even then we're going to do the show, just with less frequency. That's the whole point of WFO, is we're going to do this show forever. And eventually, somewhere in the arc of forever, we will get enough listeners to have really major paying sponsors. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of you when we get to the Mind Cloud time. We might be speaking Mandarin. We might have a segment that is all Mandarin for the new, newly minted Chinese audience that is going to become very big and popular.
All right, just for the record, Kyle Busch, boy, Monday night.
Yes.
Brad K, girl, Wednesday morning.
Thank you very much. Way to pick it up and put it down. So let's hear from the winner. Denny Hamlin was victorious out there in the All-Star race. Let's hear from Denny.
Ian, like you said, the first for Toyota, first for Joe Gibbs Racing, myself, in my 11th year with Joe Gibbs Racing. And it's just Joe and JD and all the grandkids are here. And so just a... what an awesome night. I mean, just everything came together, and I mean, definitely with 50 to go, I didn't see this coming, but we, Dave made a smart call on the third segment, I think, and taking two tires to try to get my average finish back up. Still didn't think we were going to get on the front row, coming from sixth average finish, but I didn't think about that number one pit stall being so close to that camera that's usually worth at least two positions anyway. And then the pit crew just knocked it out of the park. I mean, that was prime time, under pressure performance that they did there. So that won it. And, you know, obviously we had to hold off the four, and we haven't been able to do that for about 2 years. So luckily it was just 10 laps. But the turning point I really feel like for me was when we moved up to the middle of the racetrack. I knew he was eventually going to get that high line on me. And once he did that, it was going to be over. So I had to move to the middle, and that's where my car really actually took off at the end. So hopefully we learned something there, and really the adjustments Dave did at the end, it was total team effort, because if we didn't get the pole, we weren't going to come out first. If we didn't have that pit stop, we weren't going to come out first. If Dave didn't make the adjustments on the car that he made, it didn't matter if we came out first or not. Those guys were going to run me over. Just everything came together perfectly for that last 10 laps. That should cover everything.
That should cover everything. $1 million. $1 million. $1 million. That's a lot of loot.
That's a lot of flat tires.
Yeah, it really is. $1 million. Very interesting stuff. So Kyle Busch wins it. Now it's on to the Coca-Cola 600.
Denny Hamlin.
What did I say? Kyle Busch?
Freudian slip.
Yeah, Freudian slip. Denny Hamlin wins the Sprint All-Star Race, and now it's on to the Coca-Cola 600. We're going to open the phones. We've got some cool things going on. We're going to talk about the Camaro 6th with David Hakim. Did you see it? Did you check it out? Giovanni, did you see the new Camaro? I find it impossible that you were able to avoid it.
I guess I have.
And? You got a look on your face. You haven't seen it. How is that possible? You've been on the web. Oh, this is brutal. Really? No, how do you not see it? You don't go on the web then. You are not an informed human. It's on CNN, it's on Fox, it's on MSNBC. It's
I
on
have seen it.
Breitbart, it's on all of them.
Yes, I have.
Every
seen
single
it. Yeah,
one.
Yeah, all those are
it's on
my
ESPN,
favorites.
It's the ads.
Those
it's
are
everything.
On my favorites list right away.
All of
I always go to
every
those.
It's on Yahoo. That's your page. You're still a Yahoo guy. You're the one. You and like seven other
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I hate them like poison now too.
Why is that?
Because of the whole bombardment of the direct ad, and God forbid my wife uses that computer in the desk in my office and goes to like Nordstrom. Now I'm bombarded with Nordstrom ads. It's like, I don't understand the whole point of bombarding people with ads of the place they just bought from. It should be something similar to or something different. I obviously know about Target and Nordstrom and the stores that I just went to. It just doesn't make sense to me. That, and then the other thing that I find extremely scary is, a few days ago, or I don't even know when it started doing it, when I send an email now, if I send Joe an email, it says, you might also want to send them to these group, and it starts, like, suggesting people that I might send an email related to you somehow or something. That really kind of, all this stuff is really not good, people.
Mind cloud. It's going to happen. No, I don't like any of that either.
Like, that's it.
But it's you cannot
like, what
stop
if,
it.
What if...
No can defend.
Like, I noticed the other day, inadvertently, I just went to, like, click on the next thing, and it was about to, like, CC somebody else on an email I was sending somebody.
Yeah, and you could,
and
that's how you accidentally
right.
Tell somebody something bad about them.
So, anyway, that's it. That was my 2 seconds of Yahoo, that I hate Yahoo like poison.
Okay.
So,
well,
if anybody's got any recommendations out there, feel free to send them in.
I use, you know, Google. So they're doing the same thing. They're all doing the same thing. There might be a free one that, you know, you get no information. You get no search power. That's the problem is you want to use this? You got to submit. And there's hundreds of different ways. You have to submit. And they're all out there. Submit. But anyway, we'll get into it. The Camaro, I find it hard to believe you haven't seen it.
I have seen it.
It was on Yahoo.
Now that I went and looked at the picture, I have seen it.
And?
It's awesome.
And I think do you really genuinely like it, or are you just saying
yes,
that?
I do. Okay. I mean, the one I saw, it's in particular, it's red, and you know, like, red cars sometimes kind of make me see the devil, but...
Like Ferraris.
No, the Ferrari red is a distinct red anyway, but... No, the car is beautiful. It's this particular one that I'm looking at right here has got, like, a cool scoop on the side door and everything. It's
very interesting. It's very controversial. Some people don't like it. Some people like it. It is very polarizing, which
is
good.
It's just a car, people. Like, really?
Well, they're not, like, you know, taking up arms against it, Giovanni. They're just... they're not boycotting Chevrolet because of the design of the new Camaro. It's just whether or not they did it. I tend to like it. Oh, but okay. I got to see one in person. That's where you really see it. Seeing it in two-dimensional is not the same thing. But David Hakim has driven it. And he's going to give us his impression. He was there at the launch. He drove the car. You know, someone crashed one.
You know, just like that Hellcat Charger.
Well, this was a mule because these are not even... These are the hand-built ones. And the guys from Jalopnik stuffed one in the wall. And the video is out there, which we may play.
Well, I would post it somewhere. I don't know about...
I think the audio of them stuffing it in the wall is pretty good. But all that to come, plus our picks... And a whole host of things. Lewis Hamilton, the deal, the Indy 500, the cars are airborne. We almost lost Hinchtown. All of this stuff is going on. But first, most importantly, at this moment, I got to tell you that I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Wait a second. WFO audience, listen. I've been speaking with Larry Spiegel over there at the General Counsel Club and talking a little bit about the WFO Radio participation in this kind of deal, the 30-day free membership in the General Counsel Club that is offering you an incredible resource. I'm wondering how many people in our audience are actually in business or looking to get in business or looking to do something extra to get something going, looking to turn hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses for tax purposes, looking at buying versus leasing options, looking at IRS examinations or assistance with trademarks or copyrights, all of these things. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami and points in between, all you folks, the WFO listeners, can get a 30-day free membership. All you have to do is go to WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, and enter your information. No credit card, no obligation. We've done an interview with Larry that is in the short clips section. You can actually listen to him and how well thought out an individual he is. What a great resource this is for you. You might not be in business. You might be thinking of writing up a will and thinking about what the best way to handle that kind of thing is. Maybe you're looking to start a church. There are literally thousands of things. What are you laughing at? Starting the church, that turned out to be a big thing when we were doing the podcast.
That's why I
start
remember
or expand
that.
Your
That's
business
exactly
today.
Why I'm laughing, that I was shocked by the amount of people that were actually interested in opening up a church.
And that's the deal, is you don't know what you don't know. And by joining the General Counsel Club, you can open your mind and your eyes to a lot of things that you have no idea that you are unaware of. The legal world's little hacks of how to handle certain situations that you may not know. Agreements, trademarks, contractor agreements. Go to WFOradio.com. That is our homepage. I know a lot of our listeners are listening through Stitcher and TuneIn and iHeartRadio and Race Day Nation and SoundCloud and listening to the show. We're asking you to go to WFOradio.com and click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad. Clearly they are checking out to see how many listeners go through there and sign up. It is a great resource. It is a 30-day free membership in the General Counsel Club. And then, why are they doing this? When you need legal assistance, you will hopefully use them. It is called the General Counsel Club. You get a 30-day free membership just because you're a listener here on WFOradio.com. Check them out. Now, when we return, we're going to talk a little bit about the Indy 500 and the crashes that are going on and the airborne stuff in Hinchtown. And then later on in the show, the Camaro 6, we'll make our picks. All of that when we return right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Your dad wants a tie for Father's Day. I'm afraid he's not going to get it. Because when two 10,000 horsepower nitromethane burning dragsters or funny cars face off, they never tie. Get Dad what he really wants. Tickets to the NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. Father's Day weekend, June 19th through the 21st. Tickets start at just $25. For purchase the whole weekend for just $79. Call 423-BRISTOL or visit ThunderValleyTix.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
All right, we are back. We are now back. We've opened the phone lines. We got our Periscope stream up and running. So we're going to try the Periscope deal. We'll see how it goes. Testing the audio. Oh, I hear you. I hear your audio here in our audio. So it's loud.
No,
it's
but
rocking. It's cranking.
I am observing
huge.
That Periscope, unlike the Meerkat, you don't have to have your volume, your mute up. I usually have my phone muted.
Muted.
And on the Meerkat, you can't hear what is being said, even if you have the volume up with the phone on the mute. Do you know what I am talking about? You're looking at me like if I'm an alien.
If like you if have the volume up, but with the switch muted.
Right.
It doesn't work.
On the Meerkat.
Right.
But that's how it was, and we were listening to you on the Periscope.
Oh.
So I had to manually turn down the volume.
Look, so I...
Now you understand. Look at that.
I'm up to speed. I'm speeding it. I'm up
all right.
to speed.
By the way, the delay is much, much less on the Periscope. At least right now it is. So.
Our Meerkat audience, they're going to be very upset that we're not Meerkatting. But the thing is that everybody else in the world is on Periscope. Everybody else is in the world is on Periscope. They're all using it, especially in the racing community. They're all using it. Now, we're talking Indy 500. We're talking Coke 600. We're talking Grand Prix of Monaco. We're talking it all. We're going to get into it. We've opened the phone lines. 954-889-6796. And we'll make our picks a little bit later on. We'll see if anybody calls in. Probably not. But I want to get into this whole Indy 500 situation. Which
and the cars are just flying around.
They are. The cars are flying around. Now, it doesn't...
So what gives? What happens?
What gives
that's
is what, the aero kits...
That's what happens for hanging out at these road courses for the first 6 months of the year.
The aero kits, more body work. When you turn them around backwards, they go up in the air. That's it. That's the answer. It's a problem, but... You know, maybe they could have possibly imagined that it would happen. I kind of feel like they should have known. They're also going faster and faster with more body work. When they get backwards, they're going to go up in the air. We saw Elio Castroneves get airborne. We saw Ed Carpenter get airborne. There have been like three cars to get pretty severely airborne and then just kind of flip over on their top. I'll be interested to see what takes place in the race. But the worst one by far was James Hinchcliffe, who hit the wall like incredibly hard. They're saying one of the hardest ones. He is he's now out of intensive care. He had a piece of the suspension go through the body, into his right leg, out his right leg, into his left leg, up into his pelvis.
Oh!
And he was bleeding out.
Yeah, he was impaled.
He was impaled. And he was bleeding out.
It's the kind of stuff that happens on that Palmetto with all that stuff on.
And the safety crew got there on time and, you know, went immediately to work and they saved his life.
That is something.
Yeah. And that's, let me tell you, that is the thing that is going to get somebody, like, bleeding out rapidly. It's pretty scary. Pretty scary. And so he had surgery and all of that. Now, Scott Dixon is on the poll, and I am looking to bring up the... there it is. I'm looking to bring up the qualifying. And you'd think, you know, you go to IndyCar.com, it would be right there. Like, how did they qualify? It's right there, right? The starting lineup.
Come on, Joe. What's
starting lineup
for the
Indy 500. It's like right there on the top page, right? It's got to be. It's got to be right there on the top of the news, like bookmarked to the top of the page. No? And it's not. The answer is no. The answer is not. Okay. I'm going to send out a phones are open and the guys are on Periscope.
There you go.
There,
you
someone's calling in. WFO Radio, you're on the air. Hello.
Afternoon, Joe. Jay Seelig here. How are you, sir?
The Jay Seelig from the LBC. Periscope.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we're live on Periscope right now in addition to our typical programming there, Jay Seelig, so...
Oh, good.
Yeah, the entire Periscope audience. There's seven whole humans out there. Seven.
Seven. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Up, Joe?
I know. I don't know if the pressure is on. Hopefully, they'll give us some. Like, what about some hearts, people? Some hearts and some likes and some retweets.
Oh, here you go.
Do that.
What? Just
yeah,
keep tapping it.
That's it.
And
but you don't count. You don't. You shouldn't be hearting us. Who cares that?
You don't know. Look at Periscope doesn't know.
Yeah, you're doing the hearts, Giovanni. Look at you. You're getting your heart
yeah,
on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway.
Everybody missed my joke. You guys are terrible.
What makes it funny is when you just keep going.
All right. So what's up, Jay Seelig?
I'm just so happy to hear that Hinchtown is so much better, that he is on the mend, and if he's listening out there on WFO Radio, get well soon, Hinch. Love to see you back out there on the track. That's first and first and foremost on my mind right now. And it's just hoping for a great Indy 500, despite these four very obvious bad crashes that have happened. I just hope Chevrolet and Honda get their aero kit fixed. Get an aero kit fixed. Or this is we got a 500 mile race coming up here in Fontana. In over a month, and, you know, higher degree of banking, you know, higher speeds. You know, you hope and pray for the best, Joe. Let's just say that for this year's 500.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself, because this is what they got. They got what they got. And, you know, maybe some changes to slow the cars down a little bit, but in the end, when one of these cars gets sideways or backwards on the racetrack, there's a good chance they're going to get airborne because of all this extra body work that is on them. They clearly need something else, like those rear things, like flap up or something when it gets backwards. Those real things flap. There's something that can be done with these cars, but in the end, it's not going to be done before the end of this weekend. The Indy 500 will go on, so there is a little bit of nervousness, but in the end, you got to race. Got to get it on.
Yeah, you do. Joe, whenever a particular racer gets into the profession, whatever medium of speed it is, they realize the inherent danger and risks. Sometimes fans, as we know, go to see those particular types of things happen. You know, if that's the kind of fan that's going to be there just to watch the race, more power to you, but you know what? You, I, Gio, and everyone out there on the WFO audience just loves pure, unadulterated racing wheel to wheel, and that's the way it should be. And hope it is this way this weekend, not just at Indy, but at the Coke 600 and at the Pica and wherever else they're having racing this weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Grand Prix of Monaco. Totally agree. I think... we want good competition. We want tight racing. We want passing. We want multiple racers with an opportunity to win. Obviously, we want it to be safe. It's something that in racing, you just never know. There's going to be a time where something that we can't prepare for happens. It just is what it is, and we know it. But it used to be that racing was the sport where that stuff happened. Over this past weekend, one of those cliff diving wingsuit guys, who is very well known, I should know his name off the top of my head, but I do not, very well known, he was deceased somewhere in Yosemite. You know, it didn't work out. And they had, the news covered it, and it was a big deal, and they talked to his friends, and what did his friends say? They said, this is what he wanted to do, this is where he felt most alive, this is what he liked doing, he died happy.
Dean Potter.
Dean Potter. Thank you for looking that up. That's great stuff. Dean Potter. If that's what the guy chooses to do, and everybody is all for it, then it is what it is. So what's the difference, flying in a wingsuit or driving in a race car? Except for, you can make a race car safer. I don't think you can make the wingsuit safer. The ground is going to stay just as hard. There's no such thing as, like, safer ground. What we're going to do is we're going to take a spring, and we're going to put safer ground. It just doesn't work that way. All right, Jay Selig, hey, happy Memorial Day weekend. All the best to you and your family. And that Pac-Man cake is really something special.
I hope you can make it out here for Pomona in November, Joe. We'll see if we can't get you. If you make it, a WFO cake.
A giant WFO logo. Definitely love the idea.
Absolutely, Joe.
Later,
talk
Jay.
To you later.
Say hi to Ma.
Okay. I will do.
There he goes. Jay Selig. The Jay Selig is weighing in on this show. And here is the first row, the front row. During that entire call, I spent the entire call. We've only got three on Periscope now. The regular WFO radio listeners are not on Periscope.
Interesting.
Yeah. And we're using the WFO radio deal. You want to try Meerkat? You go back to Meerkat? Maybe our people are a Meerkat-specific audience. Maybe that's what's going on.
Well, I guess we'll see. In the break, we'll decide whether to switch off and go to the next one.
We'll break it. That's right. Because Periscope, you guys are ridiculous. We're here, says someone. Except I can't see, and then it goes away. Unlike Meerkat, where the comments stay up there, this thing just puts a comment up for a brief second, and then it disappears, and you lose it.
Yeah, that does happen.
I don't like that. Gio in Miami has joined. The front row of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway 99th Indy 500, the greatest spectacle in racing, will be Scott Dixon, Will Power, and Simon Pagenaud. Row two will be Tony Kanaan, Elio Castroneves.
Was the one that was here. I got to see it right before it.
Oh, really?
And somebody else said, I said it.
I said it, and then it fades away. And then
bye.
I don't like that. Hey, Periscope, your
did
your
you really
features.
Say it, though, if you said it and it just goes away?
No, it's gone. You could say all kinds of stuff now. Horrible things. Damn, it fades quick. Yes, it does. A new post is up there, and...
Bye.
It's going away. And it's gone. Tony Kanaan, Elio Castroneves, and Justin Wilson is row two. Row three is Sebastian Bourdais, Marco Andretti, and Joseph Newgarden. Row four is J.R. Hildebrandt, Carlos Munoz, and Ed Carpenter. Row five is Oriel Servia, Charlie Kimball, and Juan Pablo Montoya. Row six is Ryan Hunter-Reay, last year's winner, Graham Rahal, Graham Force, and Carlos Huertas. Graham Rahal is, I guess I'm rooting for Graham or Marco. That's it. Simona DiSilvestro, row seven, James Jakes and Tristan Vautier. Row eight, Alex Taliani, Sage Karam, who's an American. Sage Karam. Like, that doesn't sound like an American kid, right? He is. And James Hinchcliffe. No, he's not in there. Let's just have it in the qualifying. Hinchtown's not racing.
Well, does Joe Castello sound American?
Yeah.
I don't know about all
totally. That. Joe Castello sounds American. Just like Jolton Joe DiMaggio. Of course, sounds American. America. God bless America. The red, white, and blue. And the stars and the stripes. Connor Daly, Townsend Bell, and Takuma Sato is row nine. Pippa Mann, Gabby Chavez, and Sebastian Saavedra. That's your guy. In row 10. And Jack Hawksworth, Stefano Coletti, and Brian Clausen. Brian Clausen held on to the final spot, and it was Buddy Lazier who did not make it. Went out for one last run. I don't know if you saw that. It was a little dramatic. Here's my thought on that, qualifying at Indy. And this is not going to be popular. People are not going to like what I'm about to say. In this modern era PC world that everybody... They don't like the PC world, but they like when the PC world softens the blow on them. Know what I'm saying? Nobody likes to be on the receiving end of something negative. And so in the politically correct world... Everyone tries to soften the blow of whatever it is. I'll give you an example. Nobody likes the trophy for participation, or the ribbon for participation. And everybody will say, oh, you know, in this modern world, they give trophies for participation to all the kids, and not all the kids are winners. Some of those kids are losers, and they need to feel what it's like to be a loser so that they try hard to be a winner. Don't people say that, Gio?
Absolutely.
I'm not making this up, right?
Nope.
But if their kid's the loser, they're probably pretty happy when their kid's got a smile on his mug for getting the participation trophy, is what I'm saying. So how do I wrap this into Buddy Lazier? There's 34 cars. There's 34 people that made the effort to run this 500-mile race on a 2.5-mile oval. There's 33 starting positions. Do we really, like, what is the point of sending Buddy Lazier home? What is the point that this one team, this one group of dudes who made the effort, who spent the money, who went out there and courted the sponsors, who showed up at the race, who bought the tires, who bought the fuel, who went out there and risked his life, he doesn't get to race. He's the only one. You got to go home. You weren't fast enough. All 33 other, you're the one guy that got beat. Get out of here. Here's what I'm proposing. I know, I said at the beginning, it's not going to be popular. Let the 34th guy race.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, what's wrong with you?
Let him race. What's the downside?
No, and what about next year when 35 guys show up?
Okay.
Do we just let them both in, too?
Well, maybe we think about it.
I mean, I know this
it.
Is a downtime for Indy,
it is.
But this is preposterous.
One guy.
Look, there's a rule for a reason, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this year there's 34, then next year there's 38, and all of a sudden there'll be anarchy. There's 105 people running the Indy 500.
Well, wouldn't that be the best problem they have had in 100 years? For 38 cars to be showing up for the Indy 500. What's the point? 33 artificial starting numbers. It's a 2.5-mile oval. Half those cars are slow. And it'll be a lap down inside of 10 laps anyway. Maybe it should be all run.
So why do we even see who goes fastest? Why don't we just
To come up with a starting order. That's why.
Why do we even take score? I mean, let's just all go out and have a beer afterwards and be happy that we participated.
But see, your little endeavor, which sounds like a bowling league maybe, it doesn't cost very much. It's nothing. These guys just went out there and put everything in, and one team goes home. They
that's
go back
right.
to the shop.
That's life, buddy, all right?
Yeah,
pick yourself
that's
up, back up by the race shoes, and next year find a 10th. Here and there.
I see, exactly. But they're not going to.
Well, then they're always going to be on the outside looking in. That's why they're just not quite good enough to make it. Sorry, buddy.
Well, that's why
no
I think
intended.
The literally, buddy. You know, I feel bad for the dude. Like, one guy. He went out there, he was on the ragged edge. No.
No, look, that's the way it is. That's just the way them brakes go, mister.
That's the way the brakes. Yeah, you
There's
couldn't beat one guy. They couldn't beat one guy. No, I know.
No, that's it. And it would have been some other guy on the outside.
Well, it would have been Brian Clausen. Brian Clausen made it.
There you go. Sorry, can't agree with you on this one.
I know. I said it wasn't going to be popular, but I still think that during this period when car counts are down and no, like, let's go backwards. Who's got a chance to win this race? None of these people.
Well, clearly no one at the back end does.
None of them. So what's the point of any of them even being in the race?
There just has to be a rule somewhere,
mister. Why? So 33rd because of tradition, 34th, but if there was 25. These guys are entering cars just to make it 33. Just to take the money. It's money.
Buddy all right, let him in. That's it. You convinced me. That's it. I changed my mind. Complete 180 here. Let him in. That's it. No
let
them
all in.
Let
them all in. When you
we
get
want to have 43 cars and let it be NASCAR.
It's 2.5-mile track with these teeny tiny little cars. They're all going around. They're getting lapped. They're totally in the way anyway.
I'm with you. Whomever shows up is it. Qualifying is just to determine an order. There's no
set
number.
Until it becomes a safety factor that there are too many cars out on the track.
Well, you know what? It's racing.
The day that there's 50
safety,
cars, which there will never be a 50-car field ever again, there's never going to be a time where 50 guys go to Dallara and get the aero kits and engines from Honda. That's never going to happen. This thing is already artificially propped up as it is, the 33 cars. Back in the day, you had 33 people around the country who were showing up with something they built. And so, you know, you had more than 33. You probably had 50, 60. You could probably look this up for Geo Tools. Like, how many drivers tried to qualify for the 1950 Indy 500? Why don't you look that up? Oh, you know what I mean? Like, how many attempted to qualify? I'm sure that's out there, easily found. Whatever. I felt bad for Buddy Lazier, okay? Give me a break.
You can feel bad for him, but we don't want to bend the rules for him.
I believe that the rule book is flexible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Last week it wasn't so flexible.
Sure it was. What did I say? From year to year.
Tom Brady.
Well, that's a different kind of rule. There's different kind of rules.
Oh, okay, because some of the rules are gray then, huh? But some of them are not?
Some rules, like the extra point in the NFL, they are changing that rule between seasons. That is not like softening the ball, which is a competition rule. That would be as if Buddy Lazier showed up with a bigger engine or an extra turbo on his car.
No,
that is breaking a hard and fast rule that has to do with the competition.
All right.
Whereas this is like a framework rule.
Would you say the great, great, great Jerry Rice was a cheater then?
Would I say that Jerry Rice was a cheater? Why? What are you? What is your example?
Well,
here?
The great Jerry Rice just came out saying that he used Stick'Em throughout his whole career. And
was Stick'Em illegal?
Stick'Em completely illegal. Jerry Rice's whole playing career.
Well, that sure makes a lot of sense. Let's go out to the phone lines and talk to Rudy from UPS. The Rudy the UPS guy has actually called in our show for one time in his life. Rudy, go ahead.
Well, what's going on?
And that's it.
They got him. Rudy's been censored by the...
Big Brown.
Are you still there, Rudy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you cut off. Very abrupt cutoff. We thought that you were taken by the... I don't even want to joke about who I think that was going to take you, because they might take you anyway. How the heck are you? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Well, it's been... Every time you get on the phone...
Rudy, your phone is horrible. It's
Dude,
like
what are you in the back of the truck?
Yeah, did someone tie you up, Rudy? Do we need to send Lowe over there to help you out of the back of the truck?
No, man, I'm off this week. That's why I got a chance to call you guys.
Oh my gosh, this guy's off. You took what, vacation? Is it your
big vacation? Yeah, today's my daughter's birthday, so I took the week off.
Oh, that is so nice of you. Well, we think it's great that you called in. Are you ready for the big race? We're talking about Buddy Lazier and Indy 500 qualifying.
Yeah, what a weekend, huh? Poor Indy, man. They're jinxed this year. I hope they can get the race in. You know, I called early and left a message, but I didn't know you guys were going to be taking the
Yeah, I heard your message. Call. Why do you think they won't be able to get the race in? That's what I don't understand. They're going to get the race in. They're going to go out there and they're going to race, and they're going to have some crashes, and some cars are going to go up, and they're going to come back down because of gravity, and then they're going to race again.
The weather's calling for thunderstorms on Sunday. Have you not seen the forecast?
No.
You know
those
guys.
Yeah, it's not looking good as far as weather.
Wow, that's...
They're like baseball players, 30% right, and you're in the Hall of Fame.
That's not good. That's not good, Rudy. You just really kind of took a big on my parade there. Very unhappy with what you just told me. A little rain. Not good.
He's raining on your parade.
You're raining on the parade, Rudy.
Oh,
well, Gio is usually poo-pooing the parade.
He is. Gio is a poo-pooer. He poo-poos all the time. So what else? It's been forever since you called in WFO, but you're listening every week, right?
Yeah, of course. You know what? I listen to it on the podcast. Best way for me to do it on my iPhone.
It's the only way to do it. Oh, you use the podcast catcher on your iPhone?
Yeah.
I think that's probably the best way to listen. If I had to, say what was the most efficient way to get the show... If you have an iPhone, that little purple podcasts app, just type WFO in. It downloads to your phone. You can listen on a plane, in a train, with a house, in a mouse kind of thing. It just shows up. That thing is the best deal. They know what we're trying to do here with these podcasts.
Yes, sir. You know what? My service is really bad, man. I just want to say happy Memorial Day to everybody.
Well, thank you very much, Rudy.
When I get a better signal, maybe I'll give you guys a call so we can actually talk.
Did you and Lowe make a bet about this year? Are you guys still friends and stuff, or did you guys have a falling out?
No, we didn't make a bet. No.
No bet, huh?
And I'm kind of glad we did, because boy, am I really sticking up the show back in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah, no, I'm terrible too. But okay, so no big falling out. You guys don't hate each other like poison. Or maybe. All right, Rudy.
Hey, have a good one, man. It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you, Rudy. We, you know, our phone call was interrupted because it just is. Now we're on Meerkat. We're back on Meerkat because Periscope was just stinking up the joint.
The Meerkat is apparently, yeah, even though you say it's outdated stuff and it's the crappier of the two things, it's not. It's actually the better choice.
I didn't say it's the crappier. That's not what I said.
What did you call it? You called it old-fashioned or something. No. You called it outdated, I think.
No, maybe antiquated. But that's not what I said either. I said that the majority of the masses are on the other one.
Oh, okay. Is that what you said?
I think Meerkat is better. That's what I'm telling everybody in the NHRA community. Hey, Meerkat is better. Like, I like the fact that Brian in Louisiana, he's posting his quotes and stuff, and I can read them still. There they are. They're
well,
not fading away.
I will say, though, that the Meerkat can get the whole screen a little too too crowded when there's...
I'm okay with that.
Okay, well...
But yeah, I get what you're saying. Let's get mobbing, everybody. Let's get mobbing.
That was funny. That
does anybody know what mobbing is? Come on, let's do the retweeting. Let's get the mobbing. It's just some silly thing. When you get 50 Meerkats on there...
Oh, you found out what it was, that when you get 50 people...
I feel like
mob.
It's 50, then you're mobbing.
Okay.
And it's a little thing pops out of Meerkat, like pops up, and he's mobbing. And that's it. And look, I'm going to show everybody my Jason Line bobblehead.
Oh, look, but they've improved things. Now when I click on someone's icon, it shows me their whole...
That's always been the case.
Not like that.
Oh, wow, look at that. That's different.
Oh.
That's new, fresh, and exciting.
Oh, well, that's always been
the
case.
Wow, the Meerkat people are trying to keep up. Too bad that everybody in the racing community is on Periscope.
Yeah, well, maybe they should try the Meerkat, too.
Maybe they should.
They
maybe
should.
We'll,
it's
maybe
better.
We should be the
it's
only
so
one. Every
better.
Time I have tried to be the guy on Periscope, it ends up as an abject failure, one. Two, it's not as good with the quotes. And three, I end up back on Meerkat. And look, we're already way bigger. And the Meerkat audience, look, Bobby Graham is on there.
Way to go.
1320 Rattle is out there in Maui. He's going to be drag racing. He wants me to follow him. Like, this
Maui
is it.
Bowie.
And Bobby Graham likes the Jason Line bobblehead. So I don't know what the story is. I don't know. We're going to go with... What are you looking at?
I'm checking out the bobblehead.
You checking it out? Check it out right here. Look at this. Isn't that great? Look, it's got his name on it.
Well, it better because it doesn't look like
yeah, it. Yeah, it does. This guy,
he's
got a bobbling head. And he always says yes. This is the coolest thing. It's like, look.
Well, I've yet to run into the bobblehead that says no.
This one says no if you make him say no. No. It's kind of got a... We need a Greg Anderson one now, though.
Oh, so they can race.
Right. You got to have the Greg Anderson one. This is all right. We got the Jason Line one now, and look at me. Just like Garlett said, if somebody goes 400 miles an hour, the next day someone's going to ask him if they can go 450. Hey, look, this brand new Jason Line bobblehead. And the first thing I ask about is, do you have a Greg Anderson one?
That's the kind of guy you are.
Well, you know, always want more, more, more.
It's never enough. It's never enough. You give it a little, you want a lot.
So in the end, regarding Indy, it is the greatest spectacle in racing, and I will be watching and enjoying and thinking about it. But at the same time, these aero kits, while I think they are cool, they are inviting the cars to go up in the air. And that's a problem. So we'll just have to see. In the end, who's going to win the race? Tony Kanaan, Scott Dixon, Elio Castroneves, you know, one of the big dogs. It would be good if Graham or Marco Andretti could win it. And I guess, since everything that I do is usually surrounding personal benefit, I guess Graham Rahal winning is the best benefit to all of us.
Yeah, it puts him in the news. It puts NHRA when he shows up in the news.
Courtney Force's future husband.
She might be there.
To be an Indy 500 winner. For Graham to be an Indy 500 winner benefits the whole thing. Courtney and Forces and drag racing and IndyCar racing, you know, he's going to be out at the track, get to talk to Graham Rahal. When I introduce him, if I talk to him, I can say Indy 500 winner. That's cool.
That's a great stat.
Yeah.
To have.
I'd like to see Marco win too, though. I like Marco. We'll make picks later on in the show. And we got to get into Formula One as well. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the Camaro 6. This is a big, big thing. Mustang came out last year, and everyone's talking about the new Mustang, and people like it. I've got people who are not fans of Mustangs coming up to me saying, what's up with the new Mustang? They love it. And so now the new Camaro is out. Camaro 6. Have you seen it? What do you think? What do you like it? We're going to give you all the information. David Hakim. Gio knows Hakim.
I sure do.
We love Hakim. Hakim is like hardcore Detroit Rock City. This guy is incredibly knowledgeable. He's never been on WFO radio just for lack of convenience. But, no, he hasn't. But this guy is super hardcore Detroit car guy. He got to drive the Camaro 6 the first weekend it was available and has got his insights. He's going to tell us about what's better, what's worse, what's new, what's fresh, what's exciting, where are they making it, which is great news for the good old U.S. of A. Where are they making it? What are we, down to three? Three people? This is preposterous. On Meerkat. We're going to get off this thing, too. That's clearly not good enough, either.
I think you just got to let it roll and ignore it.
They're nothing.
The king of nothing.
Yeah, I'll solve the problem. Oh, well, no, that's not appropriate product placement.
It's look, regional.
It is regional. Look, here's the deal, and this is very important, everybody. I'm serious. This is a podcast, and you listen to the show, and sometimes there's entertainment, and sometimes there's fun and comedy, and other times, you know, who knows what you're going to get. But every now and again, there's a serious moment, and this serious moment is coming at you because I know you're going to be barbecuing this weekend, and I know you need a little Rodex coffee and grills.com. Marvin Rodak has put together a holiday pack specifically for Memorial Day. And
way to go,
Memorial
Marvin.
Day coming up, you got to get on it. 817-924-6821. Get a bag of the WFO Radio coffee. You get a bottle of the Chipotle Mustard Fusion Hot Sauce, which is unreal. That's how good it is. It might be my new favorite. And you get a container of the classic barbecue spice rub. That's how good it is. $28 value, all for $22, but you got to do it now, like Arnold would say. Do it now. 817-924-6821. And remember, the deal will go through the following weekend because of the big Cooking Channel watch party that's going on. The Big Bad Barbecue Battle. Next Sunday night, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, I guess it's the 27th, next Sunday on the Cooking Channel, the Big Bad Barbecue Battle, and Marvin, and they need the secret ingredient, and what is the ingredient? Where do they get it? Where do they get it? 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. We'll be back with David Hakim to talk about Camaro 6 right here on WFO Radio.
It ain't just wide open, it's WF. Oh.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts, legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
Just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
WFO Radio getting ready for the greatest weekend in racing. We got the Grand Prix of Monaco. We got the Indy 500. We've got the Coke 600. We've got NHRA out in Kansas, the Kansas Nationals. If you're a racing fan, you've got something going on every all weekend long. It's going to be outrageous and fun. This past weekend was also outrageous and fun with a lot of racing going on, but also the debut, the unveiling of the 2016 Chevrolet Camaro. It was a huge announcement, all kinds of publicity everywhere. The Camaro was everywhere. Well, we know someone who has actually already driven it. He has written a review already for Edmunds.com. He joins us now, David Hakim. David, welcome to WFO. Is this your first time on the show?
Yes, it is. I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller.
There you go. For those that don't know, David is a friend of mine and Gio's, especially out at the track, running around the NHRA and whatnot. He is extremely knowledgeable about Mopars and stockers and all kinds of combinations. He's like a hardcore Detroit car geek, but in a good way, and you got to drive this Camaro. First of all, David, tell me about the layout, the setup, the unveiling. They really went all out with this thing.
GM, or I should say Chevrolet, they put on a great show. First of all, it was held at Belle Isle. And for those of you who aren't really Detroiters, Belle Isle is a state park. It's actually an island, approximately 900-some acres, located between the U.S. and Canada on the Detroit River. And there's a bridge you cross over right from, you know, the heart of Detroit, right into Belle Isle. So it also is the host for the 2015 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix. So this Memorial Day weekend, we're going to have Grand Prix cars, or I should say Indy cars, running around Belle Isle. It's a street course. It's bumpy. It's really, really cool. Anyway, Chevrolet chose that to debut their 2016 Camaro. So last Saturday, they brought in 1,000 Camaro owners, everything from first gen to Gen 5 Camaro. So we had, there were like, you know, 69 ZL1427 cars there. The 67 Z28, the Donahue Penske Trans Am cars there. They even had Jenkins' 67 Superstock Camaro, the one he won Indy at, the 396 car, which that he ran in Superstock C. So again, Chevrolet went all out. They showed a lot of love to their fans, to the brand, and to the nameplate. And then again, on Saturday at 4 o'clock is when they actually debuted the car, not just for the journalists, but for the enthusiasts. So hats off to Chevrolet for doing an awesome job. Then, on Sunday, it was just reserved strictly for journalists, and we had a chance to drive the 2016 Camaro. And these were mule prototypes. They still had the camouflage on them, and, you know, they were still missing bits and pieces of the interior, and there were gaps. But, again, it was, you know, it was really cool to drive these cars.
All right, let's get into it, because clearly there's the rivalry between Camaro and Mustang. We're already seeing the Mustangs out there. David, in your opinion, how important, how significant is this car for General Motors and Chevrolet, and absolutely how vital is it that this car be a success?
This car needs to be huge for Chevrolet. The pony car war is still going on. Obviously more now since the Challenger came out back in 2008. They have to, you know, win this war. Now, their battle plan was, let's face it, Mustangs, Ford sells more Mustangs with V6s than the 5-liter, okay? So Chevrolet knew that, you know, that's where the volume was going to come from. So when they came to packaging the engines in the new Camaro, they looked at a 4-cylinder turbocharged motor, which, by the way, is causing some controversy because the last time a 4-cylinder was in an F-body was back in the 80s, you know, the Iron Duke motor, and if we all recall, it wasn't that great. So anyway, but they've got that, and they've got the new 3.6-liter V6 at, you know, 335 horsepower, and, of course, the LP1 direct-injected 6.2-liter borrowed from the Corvette Stingray will also be available in the Camaro SS. So to answer your question, it is huge for the brand. It's huge for Chevrolet. They got to get it right. It's very important. It's a halo car. You've got, for the whole Chevrolet brand, you've got Corvette Stingray, but right next to it is Chevrolet Camaro.
The return of the Camaro in 2010 to the Transformers movie after pretty much shelving it, I guess it was in 2002. That was heartbreaking to those of us who love those cars, and I was happy they brought it back, and I love the 2010 till now Gen 5 Camaro. I thought it was excellent. I loved the way it drove. I loved the way it looked. I loved all of those things. And I always wondered, I even stressed a little bit on a show a couple of weeks ago, how could they improve upon it? Like, what areas would be an improvement, and what could they do? What do they say is better about this car than the previous car?
All right, let's talk about weight. You've been around race cars your whole life, so have I, so have your listeners. Weight is the enemy of any performance car, whether you're going in a straight line or you're turning left and right. Chevrolet reduced the weight about approximately 200 pounds off the Camaro. They did that through more of a liberal use of aluminum components, both on the chassis, the frame, and in the interior. So they got the weight down. Second, wheelbase. They shortened the wheelbase by about 2 inches, and that's going to help the Camaro, too, again, in all sorts of motorsports, but in everyday driving and handling. Because I've driven Gen 5 Camaros, and I've driven the current Challengers, and they're big, and they kind of, you know, they don't really handle as good as they really should for a pony car. And it's no fault of the automakers. These cars Challenger weighs over 4,000 pounds. The Camaro is very close to that, but, you know, they have to pack them full of airbags and safety zones and all these things, backup cameras, and just keep adding weight and weight to it. So Chevrolet knew they had to reduce the weight, not just to make the car better handling, but CAFE, mileage standards. It's getting tougher every year for the automakers, so the lighter you can make the car, the better gas mileage you get. So those are the two biggest things, the two biggest changes. So, you know, from a driving dynamics, the car drove great. I mean, you know, we drove a 2015, we drove a 2016. It was, I'm not going to say night and day, but noticeably different.
Wow, that is good that you're getting a different feel. And is the car smaller? I know they changed the chassis and the platform from the Zeta chassis to the new Alpha, I guess, which is used on the Cadillac ATS that everyone's raving about it. But can you tell, if you put the car side by side, does it appear smaller? I've seen great photographs of it, but not to scale next to anything that I'm familiar with. I haven't seen the old and new side by side. I haven't seen it next to any other cars. So I have a tough time. You've seen it in person. How does it look compared to a Gen 5?
In my opinion, the Gen 6 looks a little bit smaller than a Gen 5. I did shoot the car side by side on the grid at the Belle Isle Grand Prix. However, the 2016 was in camouflage, and as you've seen camouflage cars, it totally messes up the whole proportions on what you're looking at. So a lot of people are saying, well, the 2016 looks just like the 15. Well, it really doesn't, because you do see the difference in the roof line. You do see the difference in the wheelbase. There's a lot of things going, you know, you do see it. So side by side, I noticed it. Will the average buyer? Maybe, maybe not.
What kind of feedback are you getting? Obviously, I want to talk about your driving impressions, but what was the general feedback that the your peers had about the car. Was it simply positive, simply negative, simply neutral? Give me the trends.
All right, so first they had the journalists drive 2015s with the older 323 horsepower V6. And again, some were equipped with automatic, some were equipped with manual transmissions. And so we drove those, we did one lap around Belle Isle, and we all took turns driving the 2016s. And I listened to every journalist, and I talked to fellow journalists when they got out of the 2016, how'd you like it? And everyone said, major improvement, you know, better handling, much more, you know, nimble. It felt great. So when it became my turn, again, I'll be the first to tell one, I am not a road racer. I do not pretend to be a road racer. I do like a good driving car. I do drive aggressive. I do like to take corners and turns and things like that. But at the end of the day, I'm just an old drag racer, you know, but, I know the difference too, because when they took us around the track, we were in these cars and we were following a pace car. And the pace car happened to be a 2015 Camaro Z28. And let me tell you something, that LS7, that exhaust just barks at you. I mean, you're behind that thing and they're running down the straight to like 100 miles an hour. It's like, there's something magic about that. But anyway, the 2016, it felt so much better. I mean, even the V6 sounds a little bit better because it has an active mode exhaust system. You know, V6 had that really kind of like not such a great sound, right?
Sure.
This one sounds a lot better because the 3.6 that was in the 2016, it's all new. It's direct injection. It's DVT. And guess what? It is pushing out 335 horsepower, you know, and that's true horsepower. It's horsepower with all the accessories and everything bolted on. So it's actually the current V6. Puts out more power than a stock 396 from back in the day, like a 396 with a Q-jet and cast iron intake and oval port heads and all that stuff. So they've come a long way in engineering. So I really like the car. And yeah, it still felt small to me on the inside. I'm 5'11 and I weigh over 200 pounds. And, you know, I'm not going to say it was tight, but like, yeah, I mean, it's small there. Of course, the back seat's useless unless you have small animals or newborns.
It does. The interior does look very modern or retro modern, or I don't even know how to describe the interior, but it's striking. And I think that's my word for the whole car. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I'm pretty sure that when I don't know how I feel about something, it usually means I will end up liking it a lot. But every look, every angle, every corner on the car, it's very striking, and I can imagine it's polarizing to some of the people. What about the looks, David? Are people liking the way the design is? Are they rejecting it? What's going on with that?
Well, I've been monitoring all the social media chatter, if you will, on the various blogs and forums and websites and Facebook pages and all that stuff. Even my own, I posted pictures of the car, and a lot of the enthusiasts, now, regardless of their brand affiliation, whether they're Mustang guys, you know, Mopar guys, Camaro guys, there's been a little bit of pushback on this car. You know, a lot of people say, it looks just like the old car, blah, blah, blah. But let's just sell one thing right now. The 2016 Camaro shares nothing with the 15 Camaro except for two things. The bow tie badge emblem on the back, and then the SS badging. That is it. Everything is all new in that car. I mean, everything. So I think the designers took the approach that, like, we know people like the Gen 5, but we need to, you know, reduce the weight, you know, we need to package it with these engines, you know, things like that. So they kept some of the lines, if you will, from the 2015, I see the difference all the time, you know, and I don't claim to be a Chevy guy. You know, I've been pigeonholed as a Mopar guy, which I'm trying to get out of. But I think the car looks good, in my opinion. And I haven't drunk the Kool-Aid. I think the car looks good. I think we need a change. And if it appeals to millennials, if it appeals to people outside of the baby boomer years, that's a win-win for everyone. Because that's what Chevrolet needs, a car that millennials will get into and modify. And that's where the four-cylinder turbo, which makes 275 horsepower, which will do 0-60 probably under 6 seconds, and with the right gear and a good driver, could be a 14-second car out of the box. That's what they need. We need to get the millennials into this car and get them, you know, gravitating towards it.
They also say that that four-cylinder could get over 30 miles a gallon on the highway, which is pretty shocking for a Camaro. You mentioned the horsepower of the V6. I had a 1995 Trans Am with the LT1, and I was thrilled. It had 265 horsepower from the factory. It ran 1440s. Right. I was thrilled. This thing's got 50 more horsepower than that with the six-cylinder. So a lot of upside. I can tell you that my general inclination is positive. I do think it is still similar to the previous very successful Gen 5, which I think is a good thing. Had they departed from it too much, I think they would have been getting away from something really positive, and they didn't go too crazy. But now here's the final thought, David. Camaro or Mustang? That's really what it all comes down to. I've got the Mustang people already in my ear saying it is not as nice as the Mustang. I have to admit, the Ford folks did a great job with the Mustang. I think it is very different. I think the Camaro is considerably more muscular, more striking, more imposing, more bold than the Mustang. The Mustang is a little more sleek, what I would call a little more refined. What do you think?
I think the Mustang has more of a European flair to it. I know people will call me out and say, that's BS, but I mean, I live in Detroit, and I see, one of the advantages of living in Detroit is we see what we call M-plated vehicles all the time. Those are engineering vehicles or marketing vehicles from the big three, and they have a manufacturer's tag on them. And it's not too uncommon that we see the camouflage cars or whatever. So we see cars running around Detroit 6 months, maybe a year before the rest of the nation sees them. And I've been in the new Mustang. I like it. I spent 2 weeks in the Dodge Challenger, going across country, going to Bakersfield and going to visit the Landy family and then coming back on the Gator National. So, but I like them all. I think the Camaro looks tougher. Now, I have to see the new Camaro with a different wheel and tire package, because what we saw just had the standard SS trim. I think if we see, and by the way, I did ask the Chevrolet folks, and of course I got the standard issue answer, which was we can't talk about future products at this time, but I did bring up the ZL1, I did bring up the Z28, and for all of our drag racing fans, I brought up Copo. Hey, how often the Copo comes out in the 2016 Vibe style? I have some eyebrows raised at me like, go away, kid. But I don't know, I just had to see it in a more aggressive wheel and tire package. But the fact of the matter is, hey, look, it's the nameplate is still around. It's still rear-wheel drive. And Lord knows when this car comes up. Lord knows when we go to SEMA in early November, we're going to see this car possibly in some of the booths of some of the custom car builders and manufacturers, and they're going to be decked out and tricked out, and it's going to look really, really cool. So I tell people, these are the good old days. The muscle car era is back. Enjoy it. Embrace it. And just have fun with these cars. So to answer your question, I think the Camaro looks tougher. I think the Mustang looks more sexier. And I think the Challenger looks very, very, can look very, very menacing. How's that?
No, that is great. That is great that the Mustang looks more Euro and the Camaro looks more American. That is another way to say that. And if you say it like that, that may be exactly the reason some people go with the Camaro and other people go with the Mustang. The Mustang has a little Jaguar look, a little Aston Martin look to it in some of those lines. And I like that. That's one of the reasons why I actually like this new Mustang a whole lot, because I like that. But this, there's nothing that looks like this Camaro. The Camaro looks like only itself, and I think that is a positive. One other thing. Where are they making this Camaro? That is kind of a big change.
Ah, yes. The Camaro is being repatriated. It's coming back to the U.S. I think for the last couple of generations, it was made in Quebec. But now it would be made in Lansing, Michigan. Lansing is the capital of Michigan. Lansing is about an hour south of Detroit. And Lansing is where the Oldsmobiles were made for many, many years before the brand went away. So, yeah, it's coming back to the U.S. I'm sure our folks north of the border aren't too happy, but, it's the way it is. So we'll see what happens. Like I said, being a drag racing fan and loving stock and super stock all makes combined, I'd be very impressed to see, the next generation Copo come out in the 2016 sheet metal. I think it's going to look really, really cool. Again, the fact it is 2-inch shorter wheelbase, and again, shipping weights. Well, we know when the factory submit the weights to NHRA, those weights go out the window. They could be anything you want, along with the horsepower factors. But I think the car looked really cool with a 15x10 rim on the back with a 9-inch slick and a front runner. I think it's going to look great.
Yeah, no, I agree. And they got to do that to, because there's a lot of Copos out there already. And to be the first or one of the first with the new Camaro 6 out there, I also think about Pro Stock. This is the whole point. The manufacturer moves on, the race car's got to keep up. I wonder how long it will take. And I think it's funny that you're out there asking these guys. They're trying to launch a car for hundreds of thousands of people, and you're worried about 69 guys.
Right, and the funny part was, I'm there with, journalists from, Road and Track and Motor Trend and Car and Driver and Automobile Magazine. And then, there's this guy who's, there's me, who's like, the drag racing fan, the gearhead going, how soon until the Copo comes on? What engines will be available in the Copo? And then I get this, But I think I did ask this, though. As in the 15Z28, you can get the 427, LS7 motor, right? And that's a sweet motor. And I asked, what's the future look like for that motor? And I got this kind of weird look, the look someone gives you when you ask how their mother or father's doing. It's like, oh no, yeah, they've got terminal cancer. Don't ask. So that's the look from the Chevy guys gave when I brought up the, with a 16 Camaro, have the LS7 as an option. I got the, don't ask about that. So, we'll see what happens. So on the flip side of the coin, I think that engine is going to go away as a regular production motor. Of course, it'll live on through Chevrolet Performance and as a crate engine, but so we'll see what happens. I'm excited. I'm very honored to have been a guest of Chevrolet and had a chance to drive the car on the streets of the Detroit Grand Prix, so it was a very good time.
And we're excited that we were able to check in with you. Now, David, our listeners, occasionally they like to follow the people who come on and contribute to our show. Do you have any social media? I know you do social media for a lot of other people. You're behind the lens very often at drag races. I know our listeners have seen a lot of your work, and very often you post photos you've taken of me out there doing my gig. But do you connect with your audience via social media? And if they want to follow you, where do they go? What do they do?
Yeah, they can follow me. Just they can check me out on my own personal Facebook page. It's David A. Hakim. Apparently, there's tons of David Hakims out there. I guess Hakim is like the Smith of the Arabic world. But yeah, just check me out, David. David A. Hakim on Facebook and then Instagram. My Instagram account is HP2.com. I always post on Instagram, and same with Twitter. So they can just check me out. But I just spent this morning, how that deal with Uniroyal celebrating the 50 years of the big giant tire, which sits on the freeway, the former Ferris wheel from the 1964 World's Fair. So I'll be posting pictures on that. So come check me out. I'm a gearhead like the rest of us. And
yeah.
Motorsports junkie too.
No, hardcore guys. It's the truth. David is hardcore, and he's a good guy. Good time out there when we're at the races and whatnot. We've been trying to figure out a way and a reason to have you on the show, and this is perfect. This is exactly you got to do something that so few people did, and I felt like this was incredibly anticipated. Even the leak on CNBC, they ended up showing the car by mistake. I don't know if that was by design or what, but it created buzz. And I think everybody was passing around photos of this car, and I think most people generally like it. And it's growing on me. I'm starting out with a general likeness to it, and I can't wait to start seeing them on the road, because then that's when you grow to love it.
Right, and you remember when the Gen 5 came out, it was met with mixed reviews. Not as much as this car, but I thought there was probably some mixed reviews on it. And I don't know if people were expecting a 69 Camaro just with a modern engine and, brakes and emissions and all that and safety equipment. I don't know if people were expecting that. So, I mean, again, when the Gen 5, it was like, ooh, but because it wasn't as retro as people wanted. Because you got to remember, Challenger comes out, it's full-blown retro. Then the Mustang was still very, very retro. And then, the Camaro comes out, and, Chevrolet's trying to make it a modern interpretation of the classic, Camaro. So, but, after a while, it grew on us. We kind of like the car, and we appreciate the car. So I think fans, buyers, enthusiasts, I think that's the way the 2016 Camaro will be. It will grow on people, And then once it gets in the hands of enthusiasts and tuners and customizers and drag racers, and they'll, you know, it'll be fine. It's all good.
Totally agree. David, thanks for coming on WFO Radio, sharing your experience behind the wheel of the Camaro 6 with us and our listeners. I encourage them to check out Edmunds.com for his review. It is on our Facebook page, and you can click on there and check it and look at all the photographs and everything. And there is even one photo in that you with the 5 and the 6 side by side, which I have found. And you can see, you notice a lot of the differences. I'm excited about now the 5s falling into the hands of teenagers and people who want to work on them and cut them and do stuff to them. Now that they're not brand new anymore, the first one is now 6 years old, and so you can start doing stuff to them without totally trashing it. And that's going to be exciting, too. You know, that's when the cars get really good, when people get their hands on them.
Exactly. Oh, one more thing on the V6 that I drove, the manual. Being the drag racer I am, the pseudo drag racer, the car got major rubber in second and in third on the back stretch. I was power shifting it, and it gets rubber. The old V6, it's a neat package. So go out and go drive one.
There you go. David, thanks for coming on WFO.
Thank you, Joe. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
David Hakim with us here on WFO Radio. The Camaro 6. 200 pounds lighter, made in the United States of America. They used to make them in Canada. They're now made in the United States of America. Everybody says it's lighter, it handles better, it's going to be faster. The interior is outrageous, if you like outrageous interiors. Maybe it's too much. That's the only thing, is it might be too much. And I like what he says in comparing the Camaro and the Mustang. That, I feel like, is very accurate. If you're looking for a Euro look, Mustang. If you're looking for America, Camaro. And, I like the Mustang, too. I'm not playing favorites here. I think they're both great. I wonder when the Dodge Challenger will be redone. I know the new Dodge Charger looks just awesome, and I think it is. I saw, like, a SRT8 the other day, a new one, and it was great stuff. All right, going on this weekend, a little Formula One. Nico Rosberg going to try to win 3 Grand Prix of Monaco in a row. Lewis Hamilton was tweeting.
We can get into that one a little bit.
Oh, you did not.
Did what?
You did not look up the numbers that I asked you to look up last week. There's no way. This is not possible.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to talk about Monaco, I might have some stats that
let's
I might just
it.
Know off the top of my head.
Yes,
here.
Yes, of course. Random numbers that you found off the top of your head. Let's hear them. Go.
What would you like to know about Monaco?
I would like to know who's won the most Grand Prix of Monaco.
That one's easy. Ayrton Senna.
How many?
6. 6!
That's a lot.
6!
Did he ever do 3 in a row?
Absolutely. 89. 90, 91, 92, and 93. How many would you say that is?
I feel like you just counted 5.
5 in a row!
5 in a row, wow. Well, he was a dominant driver.
5 in a row for Senna.
Okay. Anybody else have 3 in a row other than him? Mr. Stat?
Yes.
Who's
Graham
that?
Hill.
Okay.
Graham Hill. British, great British racer,
yes.
63, 64, and 65. He's won a total of 5 in his career.
That is
another man with 5, tied with 5 for all-time wins, the great Michael Schumacher.
Shumi.
Did not win 3 in a row. He won 94, 95, 97, 99, and 01.
Okay.
4, and 3 in a row for Alain Prost.
Of course.
84, 85, 86, and 88. So basically that tells me that from 84 to 93, which is about 10 years, Prost and Senna won every single race in Monaco. just a little...
Just every race.
It just was some numbers there,
well, they
folks.
Had, obviously, you saw the Senna movie, they had a rivalry.
Right.
And that's what rivalries are made of, when it's just you and your rival.
And then there's Stirling Moss has 3, and Sir Jackie Stewart has 3, but neither one of those won 3 in a row.
Okay, so if Nico Rosberg wins his 3rd in a row...
He will be an elite company in terms of winning, but it wouldn't be the first time he won 3 in a row. He would,
It wouldn't be the first person to win,
three in a row.
But he would be an absolutely
very
elite,
elite company.
Elite
only
territory.
Three other drivers, and we're talking about the greatest of the greatest.
And that's
the,
what I was really
sport.
Getting at. And Nico, he lives there. He's
as
got
is,
some
he's
sort
already,
of thing going on.
And obviously, well, as we were going, tied with two, you got Fangio, Niki Lauda, Maurice Trintignant, Frenchie, I don't know.
Yeah.
Jody Scheckter.
Scheckter.
David Coulthard. Oh, 2000 and 2002. That's a surprise right there.
That is big.
Mark Webber, 2010 and 2012. And Nico, 13 and 14.
Wow.
Fernando, 06, 07. Sorry, I glossed by
that. I remember that as well.
But that was it. And I was a little surprised when to see the elite company. But once again, I will kind of point out that I do feel that if Nico just wins these three races and doesn't win anything else, it doesn't make
him... Well, he's winning races.
Great.
He won the last race on the tour. He's winning
no,
Grand Prix.
No, but if
Prix's,
he never gets the championship, it's
he
just...
He doesn't get a championship. Right.
It's just... Yeah, cool. You won three Monacos, but that's great and all, but...
I think that's
what
terrible.
Have you done for me?
That's terrible, man.
It's just my opinion.
Formula
anybody
one,
else...
Though.
It is. It's great, and he can win Monaco every year. He could win five in a row, but if he never wins the championship, he's still, at best, he's the second-best driver on his team. And I would even contend that winning in this era, right now, winning these three in a row in a two-year period where Mercedes had a clear and distinct advantage.
Yes.
You know?
No, I don't
it's
know. Kind of, what?
It's almost like the 70 home runs.
No, it is not. That was a performance enhancer. You still got to go out there and you got to win and you got to beat your teammate. That's the thing. He's got a teammate who is really great. He's one of the greats of all time as well. Lewis.
Yeah, hasn't won twice there.
Well, you know, Lewis is en route to what will be his, third championship?
Yes.
So that's pretty impressive. And Lewis has signed a new 3-year contract with Mercedes.
So he's not coming to Ferrari
no.
after all.
Extending his current deal to the end of 2018, the two-time world champion's previous contract had been due to run out at the end of 2015. On Wednesday in Monaco, the two parties ended the speculation about
way
to the
go, Lewis.
Future. This coming from Formula1.com. Mercedes is my home, and I couldn't be happier to be staying here for another 3 years. This is a company filled with real passionate racers, from the boardroom to the factory floor, an incredible hunger to win. Very interesting stuff. I also saw that the folks at Red Bull have said that they are not going to sell and run and take their ball and go home. They are going to stick it around.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. We appreciate you not taking the ball and going home. Like
but the
team.
Formula One committee, the rules committee, they're getting together talking a little bit about what Formula One needs, and they agree that changes have to be made, but what are the changes, and they have to decide what they are. That's the problem. And so a lot of people are talking about 1,000-horsepower engines, that they're too slow. That's, in the end, it's just too slow. So, I can dig that. I like the technology, but I am not sure that Formula One cars are that much faster than Indy cars right now in the right environment. Well, that's definitely me, but I don't know what it is. I try to go on Formula1.com, and this whole thing comes up.
They're
now.
Having a party it's for Monaco me. Already. That's what's going on.
Blocking me.
They're having a Monaco party.
These days with these new fangled websites, man. Everybody. Like you can't... You know what? It's not designed to be looked at by me. Clicking off of it. That's it. It's gone. But you know what's not gone? The WFO Radio Fantasy League results. From last week that we did not get. We will get to them now. And of course, the Hippie Tippy with our great friend Rich. And we'll give his Formula One pick. I think Vettel can get up there and do something. But it's probably going to be another Mercedes route again.
Yeah, but I will say that on this track, that the overall straight line speed is really not the overwhelming factor.
No, it's...
If they could somehow steal...
Qualifying.
A little qualifying, because whoever qualifies first is probably going to win.
You can't pass there. Passing there is
it's
nearly
just about
impossible.
Impossible.
It's just getting around the track is a big enough deal in and of itself.
Like without wrecking, yeah.
It's too tight. So last week's winner was Geo Racing with 315. Woodchuck and Little O. R&K Racing Buddies, Super Crash, Clearside, Five Can Drive, Vegas Rules, Matitude 20, and DRT 99. Geo Racing was the biggest gainer of the week. The Rumblers are in first place. Rich and Saugus is second. Tennessee Money Man is third, down one. DRT 99 is fourth. Five Can Drive, fifth. Mr. Where Did He Come From, sixth. Up in Smoke, seventh. Robertson Racing, eighth. Pavlov's Dogs, ninth. And the Aussie Battler is tenth. 15th is Edgar Mellencamp. 20th is Little Lowe's Chingones. 25th is Black Ice, making a move forward.
Wow, where have you been, Black Ice?
You're 26th. Just ahead of Miss Little Low. You passed her, basically.
Ah, there you go. That's what you get for winning last week.
30th is Team Jimmy J. 35th is Flashover Racing. One position behind Fairy Dust.
You fairy.
40th is Team 14 and me. We're 41st, basically. One position ahead of Restrictor Plate. I was down six. They were up six. 50th is Lady Oz. 55th is Sacramento Racing Fan. 60th is Mrs. Dirty Hippies. Just behind Dear Lord Baby Jesus. 65th is Team Strange. 70th is Checkers or Wreckers. 75th is Super Crash. 80th is actually Eat My Dust and Moonchild. They're tied for 80th and 81st. 85th is Going Dad 81. 90th is Eastern Competition. That's Team Corso. Come on, pick it up, Team Corso. 95th is Last Place. I think that's a new name. And 90... oh, look at this. 98th is Bark Dem Tires has fallen behind. Ooh. Car Acrobatic Team.
Oh.
That's it. And speaking of which...
way behind, too. Like, yeah, 170
nope,
points.
They're giving
back
up. Bark Dem Tires has clearly given up. And Pugzilla is still ahead of Car Acrobatic Team. Struggling to stay ahead.
But he's doing it. He's fighting it off.
He is. He's like 170-something points behind, 169 points behind, or ahead of Car Acrobatic Team. Wow. And there's the Fantasy League results. Don't forget to set your teams. I have already forgotten to set my team. And there you have it. And now it's time for this week's Tip of the Week, and we've got Rich York quasi-live. Rich, well, what do you like? It's the big Memorial Day weekend.
Well, first thing that we need to do is remember to change our teams tonight, because qualifying is tomorrow. It's really the only time during the year that they qualify on Thursday, so don't wait or you're going to be completely screwed. You got a bunch of people entered in this race. So for the C's, you can basically, since you're going to be using Reagan the rest of the year, you can waste one on Blaney and Chase Elliott. They're going to be in this race. I think you should stay away from Carl Edwards. He looked terrible last week. Boyer looked pretty good. I think he's coming back on. Menard's looking good. Of course, Kane and Truex are strong. I'm going with Kyle Busch this week. I think he looked real good. They got screwed on a pit road penalty, and Brad Kay looked pretty good too. A safe pick is obviously going to be Denny Hamlin. He obviously ran well last week, so he may not win, but he probably get you a top 10. And of course, this is always going to be a gas mileage race. So if you want to go with somebody, like I said again, Brad Kay, he's always going to get you that extra few laps down the stretch.
Okay, and since we've got Formula One and the Indy 500, we're going to let you make a pick for each. Go ahead.
Hamilton for F1, obviously. I'm going to say Vettel finished second, Rosberg third. And then IndyCar, I'm going to say the safer barrier and the catch fence is probably going to win the race.
It is a little dire. There's a lot of cars that are getting airborne and a lot of crashes. Hinchtown, nearly a very serious crash. And it's very interesting the way it's all playing out. I hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too. I mean, I hope they're going to figure out some way to make sure the fans are safe. I don't want anything, you know, going, some pieces of metal flying up into the stands, and that would ruin IndyCar for a long, long time. So hopefully they can figure out this aero package, and they got to put some kind of wing flaps or something like NASCAR did to keep these cars on the ground after they crash. But I mean, also to make sure they're not so loose. I mean, I don't understand why these guys keep crashing the second they go into the corner.
Yeah, it has been very interesting. First year of New Aero, there is a learning curve, to say the least. Rich, great job as usual. We know you're super busy. We'll let you get back to it. But thanks for giving us the tip of the week.
One more thing. I was watching the Iowa race last week, and I saw a Dodge Charger in the race, which I thought was very, very interesting. I'm not sure where it came from, or I forgot who was running it, but it caught my eye, and it reminded me of Daytona back in the day when they let the Fords run the Thunderbirds while they were running the Tauruses as well. Yeah, it said Charger on it, so obviously they must have bought it from the old Penske organization, I'm guessing.
Oh, neat. Wow, interesting. Very interesting stuff. Wow, that was
the guy finished... He was basically the only one that didn't have any problems, but finished like 12 laps down because of how slow he was. He was like the first-gen car, but it was pretty cool to see on the track.
A different car, and not like all the rest. Yeah, that is kind of cool. I did not see the Xfinity race, so I'll have to go back and look for photos.
All right. Well, I'm glad I caught up with you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Talk to you later, Rich. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
All right, bud. You too.
There he goes, the dirty hippie with the fantasy tippy, a little Formula One talk, a little IndyCar. Why does he have to mention cars stuff going up into the... Come on, Rich.
That's you're Rich
saying
with
negative.
His...
He is. He's a dour, dark, dark person. You know
he's
what I mean?
He's an evil, evil man.
I don't know if he's an evil man, but he definitely has a dark side. Like, even if you think that might happen, I wouldn't say
you
it.
You are a bad man.
You're a bad man. A very bad man. What's that from?
Seinfeld, the neighbor with the mail.
Yeah, Abu. What was his name? Babu Bot?
Babu.
You're a very, very bad man. See, I'm not doing the voice. You know why? PC.
Oh, get out of here.
You're not supposed to do people's voices anymore.
All
you can't
right,
do it.
Whatever.
It's very offensive
Comedy's
to everybody.
Comedy.
No, you're not allowed to do things that are funny anymore. It's tough stuff.
Oh, come on. Did you see Louis C.K.?
Not yet.
All right, well, go watch it and then tell me about...
But isn't he in trouble? Haven't they put him in prison yet? What about the bikers, man? That's something I'm also frightened to talk about.
We could the have... Hell's Angels?
No, they weren't Hell's Angels. They were Banditos and Cossacks and Tigers and Bears, oh my. Got into a big thing down there at the Twin Peaks in
the
Waco,
greasers?
Texas. Yes, the Greasers. Greases versus the Socias is what it was. Pony Boy was out there. It was the Outsiders. There was Chains. It was like Rumble, you know? Crazy stuff.
Incredible.
At the Twin
Peaks
restaurant.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you heard that story?
Yes, I did. It permeated the sports world that I live in.
It's shocking how little you know about what goes on out there.
I just said I knew about the biker gang.
How did? Oh, really? How did ESPN report the biker situation?
They didn't. They didn't cover it. I saw it in the regular
world. Really?
Yeah.
You are just the ESPN prototype person. That's it. You're on the nipple.
No, that's not true. I've actually changed. I've spent a lot of time on...
The Jets versus the Sharks.
No, on 212 and 213.
212 and 213. So NFL Network and MLB. And that's it. You're going direct to the source. See that? Wow, their plan is working. They're cutting out the middleman. And the plan is working. MLB Network. Very interesting stuff. All right, folks, get out the envelope. It's time. It is time to get out the envelope. You got a 5, you got a 10. Can you put a $20 bill in the envelope? You're looking for $399, and then the Dragster Adventure is yours. Unless you want to go with a crew of people and race against each other, then it's a little bit more. But they're coming someplace near you. Get on the website, frankhawley.com. All you people on Meerkat, you should definitely be saving money in the envelope to try to get out there and drive a dragster. Very important stuff. Drive a dragster.
Do it.
Feel the power. Meerkat UK, love the Collins. What's up, Meerkat UK? Thank you. Are you in the UK, really? You must be a Lewis Hamilton fan, then.
We like Lewis, too.
Yeah, I like Lewis. Lewis is fine. But driving a dragster is something that I can tell you, the first time I ever did it, I immediately wanted to get my license, and it's so much better than anything else. Like, for instance, you could drive a dragster, or you could get in one of those wing suits and base jump at, where was it? Yosemite. I would drive the dragster. You're in control. You're in a roll cage.
Yeah, don't get
you got a helmet. You got a fire suit. and the rush, it's not that different. I'm telling you, it's not that different. The adrenaline rush that you're getting from driving a dragster, I'm thinking it's very close to what you're getting from jumping off a rock without a parachute in some sort of flying suit. Just what I think. Give Frank Hawley a call and the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School to find out more. And be sure to tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. That's very important. 866-480-7223. UK Meerkat is in London.
Wow,
he's listening from London.
You,
see,
bud.
This is exactly. We got a new listener maybe from London. Maybe he's going to subscribe.
Or he's a drag racing fan.
No,
that's 1320 Rattles, the drag racing fan.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is just a Meerkat guy who logged into our show because he saw it on Meerkat.
Cool. What's
someone
up, our London friends?
Exactly.
Our friend from across the pond.
I know. Like our great, greatest ally. The fatherland, so to speak. The UK. You know? Winston Churchill and all that stuff. And we love Formula One. We're talking Lewis Hamilton. We're talking Sir Stirling Moss. We're talking McLaren and Joaquin. Apparently there was a big drag race over there at Santa Pod. All that stuff. He loves the commentary and not being able to impersonate people.
Yeah, you see, the British aren't politically correct like us.
Oh, no, the British are very not politically. You ever watch Top Gear? He's telling horrible stuff.
That's right.
But won't see them no more. Looks like Top Gear is going to end up being on Netflix.
Well,
Netflix continues to do the thing. So in conclusion, take your $5, $10, or $20 bill, stuff it in your envelope that says Dragster Adventure, and when you get to the appropriate amount of money, go to frankhawley.com and book your Dragster Adventure because you will absolutely love it. 866-480-7223 and tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. When we come back, we will make our picks for the greatest weekend in racing right here on WFO.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Hi, I'm Larry Dixon. You know, there's more to racing than pushing a top fuel dragster down the track at over 325 miles an hour in less than 4 seconds. Like in any business, it takes careful planning and hard work. YourVelocity.com provides the tools and information you need to effectively start, grow, and run a successful business. I'm excited to work with Velocity, not only as a spokesperson, but as a client. So don't spin your wheels. Visit YourVelocity.com today.
Your dad wants a tie for Father's Day. I'm afraid he's not going to get it. Because when two 10,000 horsepower nitromethane burning dragsters or funny cars face off, they never tie. Get Dad what he really wants. Tickets to the NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals at Bristol Dragway. Father's Day weekend, June 19th through the 21st. Tickets start at just $25. For purchase the whole weekend for just $79. Call 423-BRISTOL or visit thundervalleychicks.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, racing fans, this is Big Dave Lemon, the host of Poker Action Line Radio. And I know you guys are big racing fans, but you probably like poker as well. So why not tune into a great poker show featuring interviews with poker stars and some of the greats of the game? That's Poker Action Line. You can find it on iTunes by searching Poker Action Line or pick it up on our website at PokerActionLine.com.
Hey, race fans, first you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO. Take me to the... Action. Take me to the track. it's a tough segue. You know, we got a caller on the line, and we want to take the caller. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Joe, it's Mike Race Guitar. How's it going?
It's Mike Race Guitar. You see, we're gonna have to, you know, have to do some post-show geo magic to accommodate Mike Race Guitar here. But it's gonna be so worth it. What do you got, Race Guitar? How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. Good race in Atlanta last weekend.
Oh yeah, it was. It didn't rain out, so that made it great. And no oil downs all day. It couldn't have been much better.
44 minutes, I think, the first round of the pros.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was on the starting line. I was roasting, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, I just want to touch on something you touched on the Nitro show and Ignition the last couple of weeks.
Touch on.
Everyone, man, if you're in the Kansas area, even if you're a couple hours away, make sure you get out to that track. Because once you lose your track, the NHRA race this weekend, they don't come back.
Oh, no. Nobody's building new tracks.
If that track goes, it's gone.
The Heartland Park Topeka facility, if we were going to try to build it in 2015,
it
would cost like $50 million.
And not only that, with, you know, environmental concerns and all of that, I mean, it's almost impossible today. Look what happened with the NASCAR track in the Northwest. No one wanted it.
No one wanted
it. They were going to spend the money. No one wanted it.
Nobody wanted it. Yeah, well, listen, I feel like I'm not on the schedule for that race, and I have some obligations here in town, so I can't be there. But
yeah, of course. Well,
anyone,
I'm coming from Montreal, I can't be there either.
Oh,
but, you
wait,
know.
You're not there? No, but anyone that's within driving distance that has gone to the race in the past needs to go. And I know that some people might say, well, you're just, you know, you're giving your money to the NHRA or, you know, maybe NHRA, whatever. Someone's got, there's another side of the debate. But this is not about NHRA, and it's not about anything other than they have got to make a statement in that region of the country that this is a viable facility. I don't understand, other than it being in Topeka, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere, even though it's the capital of Kansas, it's in the middle of everything. If you're a racer out there, if you lose that facility, not just a drag racer, but there's a road course there.
Exactly. That was what I was going to get to as you were talking. But it's more than the NHRA, than the Mellow Yellow. You know, I could be wrong. I'd have to double check my schedule, but I'm pretty sure there's a divisional or a regional race there.
Of course.
If not both.
Yes.
Plus the other weekends, what have you. I mean, listen, I grew up in L.A. We watched Irwindale disappear. We watched OCIR disappear. We watched, you know, and yeah, okay, you could argue Irwindale came back. Irwindale's, at best, a part-time track. And I've heard that it was closing again. OCIR's gone. Here in Montreal, once the Grand National left Saint-Air, you could argue that the track is still open, but it's a shadow of its former self. No one goes out there. The track has just fallen into disrepair. I wouldn't drive my streetcar down there, much less my race car.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't, if you don't support the track and the track disappears, it's gone.
Simple as
then
that.
Where are you at, Kansas? If you don't want to drive 2 hours to get to Topeka, where are you driving two hours to get to? St. Louis? That ain't a 2 hour drive. You know, so.
Yeah, no, it's a big situation, and I hope we'll find out. Because there was confusion.
Exactly.
There's confusion in the market that the race wasn't happening and that some people thought that the track wasn't open. And there has been a sustained campaign. I hope that I have been doing a good enough job letting the race fans who listen to this show know that the race is happening and there should be a higher motive than just going out and having a good time to go to this race. Because if it is a failure because of confused messaging, They're gonna close the doors on this thing, and really, someone should buy it and invest in it because it's not that bad. The layout of the spectator area is horrible, but that can be fixed. They can change some things. And right in the middle of the country, there's no doubt that they should be able to attract racers. There's nothing else to do in that part of the country. That's why the car culture is so strong. That and like tractor pulling and all that stuff. Yeah. There's nothing else to do. They don't have the beach. They don't have pretty girls in bikinis. They don't have, islands and water sports and all of that stuff or snow skiing. They don't have that. They've got nothing. Flat, wide open land. That's where racing should be, and you should have racetracks. So hopefully people will go.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I know that you're in the middle of a segment, so I'll let you go.
All right.
Support your local tracks. WFO rules.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mike Race Guitar. And on that note, it's time to make the picks here on WFO.
Take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party if they're betting in the back. I've been working all my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease it.
Vegas, baby. Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's that time of week once again where the WFO Radio Handicappers pick you winners. This weekend for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Coca-Cola 600, the longest race on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Tour. The odds, as seen by the folks at William Hill, the home of betting. And the tailgate party handicappers are myself, Giovanni, Bob Smith from William Hill, the home of betting. Of course, he's making the odds. And Tommy Noodles. Perhaps will be joining us on the show this evening. That is a pleasant surprise. Now, did somebody pick a winner at the All-Star race there, Giovanni?
No.
Nobody picked Denny Hamlin?
Nope.
Mm.
Nobody.
Nope. So we got to get going again with another streak. Here are the odds for the Coca-Cola 600, as seen by the folks at William Hill, the home of betting. Kevin Harvick is the favorite at 7-2. Imagine that on a 1.5-mile oval. When was the Derby? Did we talk about the Derby, or was that the Preakness?
The Preakness.
When was that? Was that Saturday? American Pharoah. We got a shot for a true Triple Crown winner again.
Quietly this time.
I don't know if it's quietly.
Well, Eddie, I felt like if there wasn't a lot of anything leading up to the Preakness, but now that the horse has won, I'm sure the next...
That's how it is. It's like, and this maybe, what's going to happen is some horse that hasn't run is going to enter the Belmont and win.
Of course. There'll be like two or three horses that didn't enter the last race that'll be waiting for him over there.
Yeah,
that's how they do it.
That's
now.
How they do it. That's the reason we haven't had. I will be in Englishtown for that, so I will not be able to go out to watch the Triple Crown race at the stream. Unfortunate, but I will be somewhere. Maybe I'll hit Aqueduct. Wouldn't that be seedy? Wow, Aqueduct. Anybody been to Aqueduct? What's it like? I bet there's a lot of characters out there at Aqueduct. Anyway, back to our own degenerate gambling here on the world of NASCAR, a segment that has been ripped off by the folks on NASCAR on Fox, and we appreciate it. That is the greatest form of flattery, as they say. Kevin Harvick is 7-2. Jimmy Johnson is 7-1. Brad Keselowski, the new dad, is 8-1. Kurt Busch is 8-1. Joy, 17-2. Jeff Gordon is 12-1. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 12-1. And Casey Kane is 12-1. And those are the drivers that are available for our favorite pick. Now the dark horses, 15-1 or greater. We make two picks a week, a favorite and a dark horse. The dark horses have to be 15-1 or greater. Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin are all 15-1. Carl Edwards and Kyle Larson, along with Martin Truex Jr., are 20-1. Jamie McMurray, Ryan Newman are 25-1. At 50-1, you've got Tony Stewart, Clint Bowyer, and Greg Biffle. At 75-1, you've got Paul Menard. At 100-1, you've got a log jam. They're log jamming it down there. At 100-1, Austin Dillon, Eric Almirola, A.J. Allmendinger, and Ricky Stenhouse. Oh, no, just Allmendinger. Four guys. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the boyfriend, is 200-1. Chase Elliott is 200-1. Danica is 300-1. She won the fan vote, by the way. So it was my vote that put her over the top. And the field, all drivers not yet named, 150-1. And then there is a note on the bottom that I've seen for the very first time that says, for odds to win race, driver must start for action. I wonder what that's all about. And so there you have it. Those are the odds for this weekend's Coca-Cola 600. And now he's leading the season so far. He has been virtually unstoppable. We give you from William Hill, the home of betting, Bob Smith.
WFO, guys. WFO. Hey, we're back at Charlotte for the second weekend. What a wonderful race we had at the All-Star. You know what? I did so well that race, I'm going to come right back this week. I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick as my favorite. I think he showed he knows how to get it done this season. And right now, until he goes cold, he's got to be your number one choice. Now, as far as my long shot, I'm going to go with a guy that I was so impressed with, I'm going to come right back with him also. I'm going to go with Kyle. The man is a very talented driver. I was a little concerned that maybe he might have a little lagging influence, but no. Boom. Right back to the crazy Kyle that he's always been. So, for my choices, Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. Enjoy the races, and I just want to say thank you to all the servicemen out there, and have a great Memorial Day. WFO.
WFO, Bob. Bob Smith takes Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. I think those are both excellent picks.
Great picks. Can't argue with Harvick. He has been on fire, another second place finish? I mean, does this guy ever finish outside of the top two?
No, I guess he doesn't. The guy is in fuego, but are they peaking too early is the question. You know, he's got to be good to win back-to-back championships. He's going to have to be good
especially
at the end of the season.
Under the new format, but yeah, we'll see what happens. That's why they run the races, so to speak.
Next up is Giovanni in Miami, which is where we are. We were asked by our friends on Meerkat across the pond where we is, and we is in...
South Florida!
We're in South Florida. Giovanni is in Miami. We are in South Florida. We're Broward cowards here, but that's fine. Closer to Fort Lauderdale than the MIA. Giovanni?
Well, all right, all right, all right. We're headed to Charlotte. I guess we're staying here again for a second week. And I don't know. Normally here I would just say, you know, Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, they've dominated the mile and a half tracks all season long for the last 2 years, practically. But I wanted to go a little unconventional, so to speak, outside the box for this race here, being the greatest weekend in all of racing. So I figured I'd tie in the whole Indy 500 thing, and I'd go with Joey Logano as my favorite.
Penske.
Penske, the captain, team owner. And I'm thinking Penske's going to have a good Sunday. Could have a good day at the 500 and a good day at the 600.
Maybe Elio getting four.
So, Joey, I threw out the charts and graphs because the charts and graphs point to Jimmy and Harvick because they are the kings of the mile and a half this year. And so... give me Joy. Why not?
You got him.
Favorite. And for the long shot, I was really tempted looking at 15-1 right there at the guy at Joe's nemesis, Matt Kenseth, thinking another mile and a half track. This guy is very good at this. But you guys know the policy. I cannot pick Matt Kenseth because I don't want to go to sleep during a race. Kenseth puts me to sleep. Kenseth wins. Gio's out cold for the 400 miles in the middle. So anyway, I did not go with Kenseth, although if I had been there, if I was in Vegas, I'd throw a couple bucks on Kenseth at 15-1. That's just incredible.
Yeah.
So for the long shot, guys, I gave you the hint right there. Indy 500, Kyle Larson, Ganassi, Penske and Ganassi, Larson and Logano. There you go.
Wow. And while we're at it, we did not ask Bob Smith, but we'll ask you your pick for the Indianapolis 500.
It's going to be...
you said it was going to be a great day
Juan
for the captain.
Juan Pablo Montoya.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. That's I like that pick. I like it. I like
JPM.
It. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. All right, so this guy takes JPM... in the Indy 500, Joy and Kyle Larson. He's going all IndyCar teams. Interesting. Now I'm on the clock. And look, it's Bob goes first and I go second. I'm winless this year, but I've got like a whole host of second place finishes, but that's not enough. It's not good enough.
First loser.
I know, but I got to break through. And if you go back into our picking history and Gio goes back into the databases, you may find that I have won this race a couple of times, I think, by using a strategy that works. And that is...
oh, my goodness. Joe is right.
What?
Well, I could go to last year's picks right away and tell you that...
did I win last year?
Jimmy Johnson to win at Charlotte.
Last year?
Yeah.
And who won at Charlotte?
Jimmy Johnson
exactly.
Won the 600 last
so
year.
So guess who I'm picking this year? Jimmy Johnson, 7-1.
Well, I laid that up there for you. I left it right
yes,
there. That
yeah,
was
Harvick, you took Joy.
Like a softball.
Jimmy Johnson. You skipped over Jimmy. Maybe you know something, maybe you don't. I'm going with Jimmy Johnson here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, where he has had so much great success over the years. I really think Jimmy, how can I not take him? Brad could clearly win. Jeff Gordon and Kurt Busch, all those guys, Dale Jr., could clearly win. But if Jimmy Johnson is on the board, come on, I got to take him. So now it's about to the dark horses. And... tough stuff, man. Tough stuff. Dark horses. But Gio said it right. The nemesis, the guy that I beat head-to-head in a go-kart race, Matt Kenseth. Because of all the reasons Gio said. Because it's, I went with Kenseth at 15-1 because it's ponderous and because it's terminal and because that's exactly what could happen. The 400 miles in the middle could just be...
well, I'm just going to go barbecue at that point.
Somonix, exactly. Now, we need to be barbecuing.
Ambien.
It is. It's Lunesta on wheels. The new Kenseth nickname, Lunesta on wheels. But I'll take Matt Kenseth at 15-1. And now for my Indy 500 pick. I'm always taking Marco Andretti. Every year I take Marco Andretti. I feel like Marco Andretti is always going to do it, and then he comes up short. I want to take Marco Andretti, but I feel like, you know, I don't know. You're looking at me like pressure is on. The pressure is on. I don't know what to do here. Because I think it's probably going to be Scott Dixon. It's just going to win. Is what's going to happen.
Ganassi.
Yeah. But I'm going to stick to it. Marco Andretti is going to win it. Give me Marco. And the Andretti name is back in the winner's circle at the Indy 500. And all is right with the world. If he can't win, then I want Graham Rahal to win. Because that would be somehow beneficial to us directly. And those are my picks for the Coca-Cola 600. And now a very special occurrence. Tommy Noodles is with us live to tell us his picks for the Coca-Cola 600 on Memorial Day weekend. Tommy, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Greatest weekend of racing.
I know it. I can't help but think of all those times me and you and Rich and our whole team were out there at the Indy 500, the greatest spectacle in racing, enjoying it from Indianapolis. And those are some great times.
Flying out before the race was over. Loved it.
Yeah, that was a real bummer for you. That was just so bad. Like, why would they do that to you?
Gene Simmons.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. All right, so who do you like for this? Who do you like for the Coca-Cola 600? You know, Bob did not send the odds for the Indy 500 like he normally does. So you can just make a pick not against the odds for the Indy 500, just a pick. And, you know, if it matches our picks, that's fine. But for the Coca-Cola 600, you know, you've got to pick against the odds. So let's hear Tommy Noodle's picks.
Well, I'm devastated that Kurt Busch is not in the Indianapolis 500 this year.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess you'll have to go Elio Castroneves.
Elio to win four. Okay.
You know, after that terrible wreck, what's going to scare him now?
True.
Go for the win. That's what I say. Because, you know, that flip was very, very scary.
Very. Not just that one, but Hinchcliffe's crash. There's been a lot of scary crashes. That's what happens when you go fast.
That's a very good point.
It is. They're going faster this year, and there's more crashes.
You should have your own radio show.
I know. I always say that. And now to NASCAR.
You know, there's only two choices. You know, when you go to the Coca-Cola 600... And, of course, that's Jimmy Johnson. Why would you not pick Jimmy Johnson?
Well, I picked Jimmy Johnson ahead of you, so you can't pick Jimmy Johnson.
Damn it, see?
I picked Jimmy Johnson and Matt Kenseth, and Gio picked Joey Logano and Kyle Larson, and Bob took Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, so who are you going to take?
Oh, man, then I was going to go with Kyle Busch.
He's available. No, he's not. Bob took him.
Yeah, so let's go Kurt. You know, why the hell not?
Kurt Busch, 8-1. That's a good pick. I like it. He was second in the All-Star race, or at least for a while. That's, I like it.
Well, if you can't have Jimmy Johnson or Kyle Busch, then, you know, why are we even bothering to do this?
That is true. You never know. You know, new guys. Jamie McMurray, when he won in Sterling Marlin's car, no one would have ever guessed that.
No one would. Because this is a longevity race. You got to be able to drive 600 miles. And a 25-cent piece could blow at any time. So, you know, maybe Jimmy Johnson loses a 25-cent piece and it's you know, useless.
I love that stat. I don't know if it's still pertinent, though, because I would have to ask a crew chief to show me what the 25-cent piece is on these cars. Like, which piece on this car costs less than 25 cents? I don't know if that exists anymore, but definitely a $10 part, maybe.
Now you're just making me old.
I know all of us, not just you.
Then, you know, I hate to do it, but you have to do it when the money's on the line. You have to go with the people you don't want. But, you know, wait a second. You know what? I think I'm changing it in my head. What's Martin Truex trending at?
Martin Truex Jr. is 20-1.
Let's do that. You know
like
what?
It.
That kid's going to impress me. Longevity. I'm going to go watch the election.
So there you have it. Tommy Noodles
just
takes...
threw the graphs and charts out the window.
Tommy Noodles takes Kurt Busch and Martin Truex Jr. I took Jimmy Johnson and Matt Kenseth. Giovanni takes Joey Logano, Joy, and Kyle Larson, and Bob Smith takes Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. How about that, Tommy? Excellent job with the picks.
Is it too late for me to make my Kentucky Derby pick yet?
It is too late to make your picks. Now stand by with us one moment, please, Tommy. And those are the picks for this weekend's Memorial Day weekend, the Coca-Cola 600 and the Indy 500 as seen by the WFO Radio Handicapper. And now we are back with Tommy Noodles. Tommy, can't have you on without asking, what's the latest greatest with Team Jacob?
Team Jacob is actually doing very well. Lots of stickers on lots of small team cars down there in Texas. It seemed to have taken off. Got Flying Ryan, who is going to be the next Jeff Gordon. The kid's got phenomenal talent. I've been with them a very long time, and now they've surprised me by putting Team Jacob on the hood and racing every weekend. It's going to be an ARCA soon, you know, then Infinity. And we'll see what happens.
And how about actual Jacob? How is his health?
Actual Jacob is mentally 100%. And that's the only way you're going to beat this.
That is great to hear.
You know, still got like 8 to 11 more months to go of chemo, which is a lot for a 10-year-old. But, you know, the kid's living life to the fullest. Nothing slows him down. But I guess it takes a very strong person to be able to do this, and he's teaching me a lot about life. So,
well, please,
you offer asking.
Give him our best for the WFO love to little man Jacob, on behalf of myself and the WFO audience. I know they are all thinking positive thoughts and sending as much positive energy as possible.
That's what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot of positivity. And, you know, 20 years from now, we'll look back and we'll be like, remember when that happened?
Yeah, so, yeah. No, exactly. And I it can be beaten, and it takes positivity and a tenacious attitude. And I know Jacob has that, and I know you have that. And so that's what it's going to take to beat it.
But, you know, I wonder what the Vegas odds are.
Bob Smith, I don't think he's working on that kind of stuff. And we don't want him to either. We don't want it to be common enough. Tommy, happy Memorial Day. Obviously, it is a solemn holiday, but we try our best to make the most out of it with a lot of racing, and it's loud, and it's crazy, and we have barbecue, and it's fun. Hopefully, you and yours have a good time over the course of this Memorial Day weekend. And thank you so much for joining us quasi-live here on WFO. I greatly appreciate it.
Just make sure no one calls me all weekend.
Not
I will
once.
Be glued to, I just got a 55-inch flat screen television to watch the All-Star race. So, I got it for Talladega because I'm a Talladega freak.
Of course.
So, yeah, this weekend, don't bother me.
Nobody call Tommy. That's it. Unless you want to give him something, then maybe.
Unless you're bringing food, because you know how that's the way I party.
Absolutely.
You have to bring the food.
You provide the place, they provide everything else.
100%. Well, I'll be there, but don't talk.
All right, Tommy, talk to you soon. Thank you.
See ya.
There he goes, Tommy Noodles, making his picks, telling us about Team Jacob, weighing in. We had some great times, me and Rich and Tommy out there at the Indy 500 a few years back, and they flew Tommy out before the race was over.
Can you imagine? How horrible is that?
Can you imagine? You're at the race and you have to leave in the middle of the race to go catch your flight to go back home. How annoying.
Yeah, I've had that happen before.
Yeah, exactly. And so there you have it, folks. The WFO Radio comes to conclusion. All right, look at this. We got Bobby Graham is on there, Strategery, Meerkat. Meerkat UK is like our new best friend.
Oh, he doesn't get the Strategery.
You don't get the joke. You don't get the joke. See, that's like lingo. That's that's America.
It's American.
It's America. You don't know America. You don't know Strategery. Fool me once.
That wasn't me.
That's not ye. That's you. That's me.
Not that I know of.
I think it's you. Whatever. There's thousands of things open up on my side of the world. I'm not going to play the audio. Maybe I should play the audio of the 2016 Camaro crash, because it's pretty cool. You know, Hakim was awesome, and he told me about this. This is the guys from Jalopnik. They're driving the car, and get a load of this. This is the sound of the first ever 2016 Camaro crashing. Okay?
A lot more nimble. You know, you can definitely feel the weight savings when you're driving this thing. It's got a good sound to it, you know, this V6. It feels a little quicker, too. A little more hustle to it. You know, this definitely isn't the enthusiast choice. You know, they're going to go for the V8. That's what everyone really cares about. But, you know, this isn't bad. And it's got some decent power to it. All right, here we go. I just fucked this thing up pretty bad. That's a problem.
Hey, Richmond, tie left. Warren Lawrence, watch the exit on this right turn. Wall comes up quick.
Chevrolet asked us to leave because I just wrecked one of their 2016 Camaro mules on the track. Today didn't go the way I wanted to. If you were watching this expecting a video review of the Camaro from Jalotnik, I'm really sorry. We were out following another mule with a Z28 as a lead car, and I just went into one corner too hot, made a mistake, stuffed it into a tire wall, damaged the front left quarter panel, dug it into a tire. It was my mistake. I mean, I was really excited about this. I got to drive a mule today. Like, you know, we always see these mules running around, and we never know what it's like, but, you know, I get in one, and just, you know, I put it into a wall. You know, I feel really bad. If anyone from Chevrolet or Camaro Performance Team is watching this, I'm sorry I wrecked your car, and I hope that this
didn't set you back that much for the
development of what I'm sure is going to be something really, really great.
This is terrible. You know, the folks at Jalopnik, I've seen that website. I check out that website a lot. And that's the nightmare. Like, I've had that nightmare before. You get to drive a press car and you wreck it, but they did it on the track, and it's on video. They put the video out. It's got 79,000 people on there, though, who have already checked it out. So in the end, they turn a negative into a positive somewhat. But you see his face, and he knows he's going to hit it, and boom! And, you know, he dropped a little F right there at the end, which, you know, for all the kids out there, I don't know if you heard that, Gio. Maybe you'll have to bleep it for Miss Little Low. And yeah, the F, man, the F.
I didn't hear it. I glossed right over it.
Really? Anyway, I have put it to the censors on WFO Radio, and what they do with it at that point is their business, hopefully. But I guess that's going to do it. Anything else, Giovanni, that we have to discuss on this program before we get on out of here? The poker guys, strategery is a cool word. Yeah, it is. It is a cool word. It's made up, but it's now part of the lexicon here. Strategery. It's like, you know, who says strategy? Boo that. Strategery is much better. And so, I'm sure there is something. Clearly we talked about the bikers. Very gently, of course, and in no way an offensive nature, just in case someone is out there. Of course, this is America. And hopefully that wouldn't happen.
No, that's it. That's all I got. I mean, that's all I got.
Yeah? Formula One this weekend. IndyCar this weekend, NHRA this weekend, Coke 600 this weekend. Hopefully you're going to be rocking some road acts. I know Gio already mentioned barbecuing. That's my big plan. I'm going to be barbecuing the whole weekend out.
Consumption. Lots of consumption.
All kinds of consuming. It's going to be one big consumption weekend, and it'll be a great time. I always like to say, though, that this is a solemn holiday. This is not about just barbecuing and sprinkling your road acts on your brisket. It is much more about the people who sacrificed for our country with their lives is really what it's about. Memorial Day, I guess formerly Armistice Day. And I don't know that too many people get that. It's really a big, big deal. Think about the loved ones of the people that you know who they died in support of our country. Whether in war or in the military, or we just had an Osprey crash a couple of days ago. Two Marines died. How about the Marines that were helping those people with the earthquake? They died. Serving their country. And that's what this weekend is for. We get off Monday, and of course, we'll be back on Tuesday with the winners from Kansas, and we're going to be talking Formula One and IndyCar next week. And I'm heading to Englishtown, and I will be up there in